Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, folks, it is the 25th day of August, Monday, 2008. It is DNC time. It is kicked off. Alex Jones is going to be live reporting, breaking in with all the hot news. You can see live streams over at Infowars.com. That should be starting in about half hour, 45 minutes, if it's not already up. We got a jam-packed show for you otherwise. We have Alan Watt at 11:30. We have Marty the Soapman Schachter, very lively character. At 12:30, Bob Chapman will be joining us. And, of course, in the final hour, we're going to have Kevin Ryan to discuss the new NIST World Trade Center 7 report. Now, before we get into that, over the weekend it was announced that Joseph Biden, Joey B, as I like to call him, has been tapped to be the vice presidential nominee. Now, Joey B is a longtime company man. He was recently named in a Bush administration scandal where they're like, hey, you know, maybe there'll be some good words in it from you from Joseph Biden. I think on Kurdistan or something like that. I forget the nation, but Aaron posted a story about it before he left. What I don't like about Joe Biden is he obviously knows about global government, a.k.a. the New World Order, although it's in different forms. He actually wrote an article back in 1992 for the Wall Street Journal. You got to remember, this guy is a CFR guy, that's Council on Foreign Relations, doesn't hide it. Anyway, he writes this article called How I Learned to Love the New World Order. And Joey B. has been trying to be president for quite some time now. I believe he was in the 2004 and 2008 Democratic debates for that nomination, failing both times. He's also very aware of RFID technology. When Roberts was going to be named to the Supreme Court and they were having the hearings for that, he asked him, he said, look, it's going to be decided on in your lifetime on what are you going to do when the government says it wants to chip the U.S. population. And of course, Robert said he would be against such a thing. But just that he's aware of that shows you that he is a cunning politician. Now, I have a movie coming out called Fabled Enemies that deals with the international intelligence ring that helped carry this out, showing the different roles of different nations. And Pakistan's role was to be set up as the funding arm, the covert funding arm of the hijackers, so we could later blackmail them into using their nation as a launching base for the occupation of Afghanistan. Yes, we did mass troops in all these other areas before that, but Pakistan was another strategic point where we wanted to use, and we did. And Joseph Biden got on the floor on the 12th and started saying all these awful things about Pakistan. They pretend to be our friend. They're not our buddies. We're going to have to deal with them, blah, 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 blah. Then Colin Powell gets up and he says, well, we'll see what Pakistan can do to help us. And then, of course, they give in to our demands as they are a puppet establishment. Now, another interesting fact is that Joseph Biden is meeting with this guy who is covertly funding Muhammad Atta and others from the Pakistani ISI, the Inner Services Intelligence Organization over in Pakistan. Basically, their CIA, set up in the 80s by our CIA. It is just another arm of, again, this international intelligence monopoly. Now, Mahmoud Ahmed is in D.C. the week before 9/11, meeting with Joey B., meeting with George Tenet, meeting with Porter Goss and Bob Graham on the morning of 9/11, having breakfast with them. And those are the two guys that head up the initial congressional investigation into 9/11, where 27 pages are redacted concerning the foreign governments, that's foreign governments, involvement in 9/11, and we go over that also in Fabled Enemies. Now, we have a new teaser out. I launched on Saturday evening after Joey B. was named as the Democratic nominee, and he plays a vital role in this. See, he admitted to knowing that the ISI was funding the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, and he later says that that information is classified. Now, once again, we'll be playing this in the next segment, but is it important to note because he's just another cover-up artist. He's another globalist. He's another person on the payroll. I guess he's bringing supposed, what is it called, credibility and experience to the Obama campaign. Give me a break. Just another globalist, folks. The Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, folks, I'm Jason Burmis. I'll be sitting in through Thursday, and Alex is going to be with us in just a few moments, calling in live from the DNC. Remember, we are broadcasting live from the DNC over at Infowars.com via Justin.tv. Nice little service there. Before I go to this Fabled Enemies teaser, Infowars has just posted an article called Joe Biden's New World Order Speech. You see, he doesn't just write about it. He likes to talk about it. In his speech on the threshold of a new world order, this is his speech, a rebirth for the United Nations. Gee, sounds a lot like world government to me. Maybe I'm the kook. Biden called for meddling in the former Soviet Union and China, imposing a free economy on these countries, i.e. allowing the international bankers to freely loot and pillage, and expanding NATO and allowing it to operate outside of its territory. You know, I called up my buddy, who was an ex-military guy. I guess he's still on reserve now. He went to Iraq, and I hadn't talked to him in a little bit over a month, so, you know, I thought I'd catch up, and wanted to ask him if he knew what was going on in Georgia and Russia, and he's like, well, you know, from what I've heard, the Russians attacked, and I told him exactly what happened. He's like, wow. And I told him the role of NATO forces surrounding Russia over the past few years, and he's like, yeah, NATO, okay. And he's like, yeah, they're far from peacekeepers. They just do whatever they want. And, you know, the conversation furthered. And I was like, well, did you know that, you know, Blackwater has started to open up publicly their own quote-unquote intelligence organizations? And he's like, well, that's really no surprise to me. He's like, you know, I've always considered going back to Blackwater if things get really bad because, you know, you got to choose a side. And I'm like, would you really want to choose that side? And he's like, well, I would never attack American citizens or do anything like that. But, you know, when it comes down to it, and, you know, I was just like, man, that is the wrong way to go. So without further ado, let's expose Joey B on the Mahmoud Ahmed ISI tie-in that he knew exactly about, has still really not exposed publicly, and has admitted is classified. Take it away.
Senator Joe Biden, who had also met with the head of the Pakistani ISI, would have harsh words on the Senate floor.
And the word should go out to those who pretend that they wish to be our friends, that they're going to have to make some very difficult choices. Pakistan in particular is going to have to make a very difficult choice very soon. Words will not be sufficient. Actions will be demanded.
When Biden was confronted, he confirmed his meeting with Ahmed, saying Pakistani intelligence was indeed funding the Taliban.
In the days following 9/11, you met with the head of Pakistani ISI, General Mohammad Ahmed. It has since come to light that he ordered Saeed Sheikh to wire 100,000 miles to Muhammad Atta. Why was he allowed to go back to Pakistan, and why was he questioned, and why were you meeting with him?
I met with him to deliver a message that if he didn't stop supporting the Taliban, we would take him out.
Why did we let him go? We let him fly freely. We never investigated him. We never even looked into him.
Look, there's a thing called diplomatic passports. We did not arrest Khrushchev when he came.
But he financed the hijackers, and you let him go, and he's free. He hijacked the hijackers.
No one knew he financed the hijackers.
It's wired. It's reported.
He would later state that the information was indeed classified.
How did you know
the ISI was helping the Taliban, sir? How did you know they're helping them out? It is classified?
Well, there you go. It drops September 1st on DVD. You can pre-order it now at Infowars.com. It'll come out a little early for the PrisonPlanet.tv members in DVD quality. It's really ready to go. It is Fabled Enemies, and it is my latest and greatest movie. I have wrote and directed this picture. Of course, Rob Jacobson, Aaron Dykes helped me edit this, did the majority of the editing, thank God. And, you know, I just want to thank Alex one more time for providing the assistance that I needed to make this picture, because this picture really delves into just more than the Pakistani operation. It delves into the Saudi Arabian funding, you know, the banking in this country, okay? The continuity of government program, which is the shadow government that so many people still insist does not exist. You see, the shadow government isn't real because only kooks and tinfoil hat people actually talk about it. Well, no, I'm sorry. Continuity government was in place on 9/11 through war games, including Global Guardian and others, and we had these E-4Bs in the air that just happened to be on the scenes of the attacks. And people are still just not aware. You know, Dick Cheney was given all this power on the morning of 9/11. The shadow government was pretty much put into place indefinitely. We've suspended all sorts of constitutional rights in this country. We now have domestic wiretapping going on. Nothing can be done. Can't go after the government. It's all under the veil of national security. And it's quite disgusting. Have I lost hope? No. Am I upset with what's going on? You bet your bottom dollar. I'm very upset at what's going on. And I feel like the only way that we can conquer this is to expose the lie of 9/11, in which all of our foreign and domestic policy is based on. And with that, I want to talk about some grandstanders. Well, I'll be down at Ground Zero, so will Alex, on September 10th, the show Fabled Enemies and Truth Rising, and then, of course, September 11th, to be down at Ground Zero to talk to people, hand out DVDs. We hope you can make it. There's a couple events going on after that. You can go to wearechange.org and check it out. However, to the bill, if you will, of September 11th, we're going to have Obama and McCain down in New York City grandstanding before family members. All right, Alex is on the line. We'll get to that later. Alex from the DNC in Denver. How are you, my friend?
Good. I am here. I'm just a mile or so away from the camp. Coming up in about 15, 20 minutes at prisonplanet.com and infowars.com. We're going to go live with a live video feed there. The video feed's dead right now. It'll go live. And we're also going to have several other cameras. We're going to go up and investigate the camp, see if they already have people out there. So that's coming up in about 15 minutes. We're going to move Alan Watt back to noon, and that means he'll still have some time with Alan Watt coming up today. Again, we'll be doing this throughout the week, just preempting or moving guests when as the schedule changes here, because this is all a fluid situation. But we've already had feds coming up to us and asking us out of the blue, basically, if we want weapons or we want security. Or I mean, it's just the classic thing. There's black helicopters, Army Black Hawks flying around. There's police and riot gear everywhere. When you drive by these groups of clustered police, they just look at every citizen and every car all over downtown Denver, Mile High City, with just disgust and hatred, with the ugliest looks on their faces, and just absolute just disgust, and we're the lowest forms of life. We are just looked at with just abject hatred, like we are the lowest form of life on the planet. They've obviously told the police to act like this. Okay, I'm on Spear. Hold on one second. We're doing multifaceted things here. Spear is closed. Do I need to, I guess I turn right on Lawrence?
Yeah, pick up 15th if you can.
Okay, all right. So, again, I'm here navigating through checkpoints, police, all sorts of activities. Now, there is an officer, the first one I've seen, actually not looking at people like they're dog feces, who's handing people little information sheets. And I think I have to go through this checkpoint. It is a checkpoint just to go down a main street here. So they have large areas shut down. Again, I'm driving on the cell phone and doing a radio show and being videotaped by the guys. So there's a lot happening here. It's hard to focus in on the news. But bottom line, the anarchist engaged in another false flag, this time of acting like total scum yesterday. There were thousands of peaceful demonstrators and protesters out, but Fox News knew how to focus in specifically
on the provocateurs and violence, right, Alex?
Hold on one second. I've got to talk to the police.
Absolutely. I mean, Alex is down there at the DNC right now.
Hold on one second.
Yep.
Hold on one second. Officer, what is this? We're just live on the radio right now.
What you want to do is make a right.
The DNC.
Okay, gotcha.
What you want to do is make a right, make a left on the 15th or a left on the Blake.
Okay, thank you. What are those?
Not for you.
Obviously, I'm not royal. I just didn't know what they were. Thanks. Not for you. They're like handing these little sheets out. I'm like, not for you. All right, Burma, sorry. It's all crazy here. Let me just get to the bottom line. The anarchist that Fox went up and talked to, ignoring the families and people with strollers and all the peaceful people, conservatives, liberals, you know, anti-war folks, people that want the Democratic Party to do what they were elected for almost 2 years ago, they all got ignored. And Fox went up to all these 18- and 19-year-old Arrested Development people that acted like they were 11, who screamed F you and flipped the cameras off and acted like a bunch of monkeys, which was basically always their job. We know in hindsight, back in the 60s and 70s, they would hire anti-war protesters to go into towns and break windows and cuss and yell to turn the people against the anti-war movement. So whether they're feds, whether they're paid or not, that particular group that was on Fox News and CNN yesterday, they might as well be. I mean, the worst possible image you could imagine, these Arrested Development drug heads cussing and screaming at people, again, making the image of police in black uniforms and checkpoints and dogs and microwave guns and sound cannons look good. Because after all, you know, now we've got these dangerous anarchists that are out there causing all these problems. So I'm going to let you get back to what you're doing in the next 10, 15 minutes. In the next 10, 15 minutes, we will be down at the camp, and I'll be calling in live via cell phone with audio backup. We'll have cameras rolling live, and we'll be streaming over the web, Lord willing. There's so many people using cell phones and these different wireless connections that sometimes it gets choked in the downtown, but we've got two different wireless cards, so we'll try to get these reports out for you as well. We're also going to stream live tonight. I guess it's 7 or 8 o'clock. It's kind of fluid at the big showing of Truth Rising at the
Oriental, I believe.
Yeah, the Oriental Theater. So that is coming up as well. Again, I'm doing 50 things here in traffic, checkpoints, you name it. In the next 10, 15, 20 minutes, we will be calling in with a live transmission from the secret FEMA camp that the police lied about and have been forced to admit exists. I'll turn it back over to you, Burmes.
All right, there you have it. Alex Jones live from the DNC on his way to the detention camps, a complete police state down in Denver right now. You can check it out live streaming at Infowars.com. The video will be broadcast shortly. I'm Jason Burmes. We'll be back after this. Folks, we're back. It's the Alex Jones Show. They were just broadcasting live over at Infowars.com. They pulled the broadcast, but Alex is shotgun, not even shotgun, really riding right through everything. I can't wait to see the footage. They're going down to the DNC, checking out the detention camps, the total police state that they have put in place there. It's just craziness. Like you said, black helicopters, military as the police down there, checkpoints everywhere. And the man still found a way to get a film crew down there. And he's going to be covering it for you like no other. And I'm just totally excited for him. If I wasn't doing this right now, I would be there. And just the fact that he's allowing me to do the show so much is really an honor. I love getting up here for 4 hours and talking to you people, taking your calls, talking about the issues, the real issues, the issues that matter. And I want to get back to this Obama-McCain New York City deal. Now, this thing is going to be totally staged. They are going to go through the questions with a fine-tooth comb beforehand. I wonder if Biden is going to be there grandstanding. I wonder if McCain will have picked his running mate by then. I would assume so, since the RNC is coming up the week after the DNC. I don't even know if it's a full week afterwards, but it's I think it's the weekend afterwards, actually. That's when the Ron Paul event is going on and the other convention. But these people are, I'm sure it's going to be broadcast all over television. It's going to be on every single major network. And they're going to tow the official party line. I mean, John McCain is a master at towing the official party line. I did like the look on his face when Luke Radowski confronts him. And you can actually see him react when Luke says, hey, wait a minute, the 9/11 Commission said they were set up to fail themselves. They said they were underfunded and that they were blocked in most of their investigation. And McCain's eyes just light up. Well, it looks like you got a good point there. I'm just going to walk away, you know. McCain is so out of it that, you know, he's pulled up to 9/11 truthers and to get a picture, seeing the investigate 9/11 signs and still taking the picture. This is the same guy that actually wrote the foreword to Popular Mechanics Lie Fest, debunking 9/11 myths. Okay? Names Loose Change specifically. And Loose Change was the, you know, topic of some of the mainstream networks, you know, liathons, if you will. After NIST came out with their report, in fact, we're going to play that clip. I'm going to get that up to John Harmon But basically, what happened was, you know, CNN, it mystery solved. Mystery solved. We should play that earlier than Kevin Ryan, because mystery solved. Just so you know, fire did it. First time ever, hundreds of degrees below what they thought it was going to do. And no big deal. Just go back to sleep. I mean, we're not going to let any real reporters ask any questions. That's why when our guy... Now, let me tell you about the motivation of some of these people, and I encourage these people to keep doing what they're doing. This is what we need for Info Warriors. Somebody shows up to the office, says, hey, I really want to go to this. I would really like to attend. Can I get some press passes through you guys? And we say, hey, you know, of course we'll support you in the press passes. Give him a call, see what you can do. So he calls up on behalf of InfoWars, gives them the office number. They call back. They say, is this guy for real? And we go, oh yeah, he's for real. The guy's pretty sympathetic on the phone. Ben Stein, not the Ben Stein, but Ben Stein was the contact information. So this guy takes his own money. Remember, we are a small operation. We can't fund everything. So he takes his own money. He flies from here to Maryland to go there to ask a question, which does get covered by CNN for a split second. And they don't cover the fact that they turned the lights off on him. Okay? They turned the lights off on the real questions. Let's go over it again. No science to these animation models. Pure speculation. They had to retract their statement that 10 stories was scooped out of the building. They said there was somewhat significant, but not as significant as they once thought. They said, oh, well, you know, even without the damage, it would have come down from the fire. Well, there was no massive damage. It was just a complete and total hoax that they put on through Popular Mechanics magazine, and it was the talking point of all these debunkers for the last 2 or 3 years. Oh, a third of the building was scooped out. A third of the building was scooped out. Well, we showed in video evidence that a third of the building was not scooped out. We have it in Fabled Enemies. It's in Loose Change Final Cut as well. I think it's described maybe a little bit better in Fabled Enemies. But we literally have the South Face on video. We have people going in through the South Face after at least one of the towers has collapsed. And yeah, there's a couple broken out windows and there's smoke coming from the building, but that's it. No heavy fires. It's just ludicrous to say that one of these beams detached on the 79th floor. They have no evidence for it. They just picked it out of the blue and then animated something. Applied no physics whatsoever. Discredited explosives from the quote-unquote decibel levels on the tape. You feel like you're being lied to? Well, you are. We're going to play that CNN clip on the other side. PrisonPlanet.com, InfoWars.com. We are back at the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmes, filling in until Thursday as Alex brings you live coverage from the Democratic National Convention. And they're not broadcasting right this second, but they will be. They're on their way to the detention centers built for this event. But as promised, we have Alan Watt of CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. Very educated, not only on the New World Order, but the esoteric symbols that we see in all of our lives. Thanks for joining us, Alan.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Alan, you know, just to kick it off, I kind of wanted to get your take on the Olympics. You know, I watched a lot of the opening ceremony. I saw how they blurred reality by putting in fake fireworks. Obviously, they faked the little girl's voice. But they made the image of God walking into the arena, basically. They were putting off these fake fireworks of footprints. And then when it arrived, obviously, there were these huge explosions. But then it goes right into a Chinese sundial. And, you know, obviously everything was in Chinese, so I couldn't tell whether it was zodiac symbols or whatever. But I found it very interesting and almost like the 36 Olympics in Berlin when it was just such an obvious occultic ritual.
Yeah. Well, it's always occultic rituals that they show us. And even the symbol that the Chinese gave us for this Olympic Games, it looks kind of like a man, but it's actually a Chinese letter, which stands for the power, the sexual power of the male, basically. But the one difference in it is that they cut off the penis, which was quite interesting in that in itself. So they believe that the power comes from the kidney, even for sexual potency, but they cut the penis of the man off, which is quite a telling statement.
Yeah, is that for their hermaphroditic androgynous symbolism?
It's partly that, and there's no doubt about it. I mean, China, every statistic they give you shows you that there's going to be 70% more males than females shortly, because they're doing away at birth with the female species, and they're encouraging all kinds of alternate sexual release. So it's quite interesting.
Well, yeah, I mean, on Friday, I had somebody who was just so pro-China on. It was unbelievable. He was denying that they were taking the dissidents' organs and that, you know, China was this wonderland and, you know, all these things that were happening in the Eastern world are good. And, of course, he was pro-world government at the end. But, you know, I am not pro-world government. I see a huge problem over in China with 1.2 billion people and having the military as the police. I mean, there is no posse comitatus there. You're guilty until proven innocent. And although I've seen it geared towards a lot of Western things, you know, you've seen McDonald's, Coca-Cola come in there in the last 30 years and kind of westernize it, you still have one-child policies, and it's still acceptable, you know, that, you know, again, they're doing away with the female population. You want a boy, which just doesn't seem normal to me. Do you think that they're putting China out? Why do you think they're bringing China out on the world stage in this level?
Because China, as the United Nations has stated already, because of its collectivist system, which is what the whole world is to become, China is the model state which we will all emulate. That's why the United Nations has stated that a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, and that seems to fit. I mean, it is a total police state there, and there is the slightest veil of, you know, freedom under this dictatorship. But at the same time, you know, again, our laws and our constitution and our Bill of Rights have been eviscerated so much that they become more and more like China's policies every day, and I do see us gearing, you know, kind of coming towards one another. They get westernized, we take, you know, Easternization, at least in our police measures, our military measures, and that's very, very scary to me that now, you know, in front of the whole world, China has been, like, shown as this total superpower. Do you think there's going to be a military conflict with them to bring in this one world order? Obviously, we've just had this situation over in Georgia, South Ossetia, and Russia, which we'll get into later. But is this the next big event? Are we going to try to challenge Red China?
I don't think so. To be honest with you, the West created Red China. We funded them into existence. Bertrand Russell was sent over the 1920s to introduce communistic ideas in the universities, and he wrote about that and stated that in those words in his own memoirs. He was one of many who was sent over. And then we found in the 70s and 80s, with the 80s and 90s, you had the GATT treaties and so on, which allowed Western corporations, factories to be shipped over wholesale to China to set up China as the manufacturer for the whole planet. So we funded China into existence. We don't have nations. We have a facade of nations. But everyone at the top of all the countries for a long time now, these dynasties, these family dynasties, have been international. And they have sewn up the world's economy into an international scale so much like a web. You can't separate the countries anymore. You have a handful of people, maybe 20 or up to 200 families who invest every day in the stock market in the billions, and they can create or destroy countries overnight. So we're all tied together. We are interdependent financially. And so China is only part of this. And if you go into the records of the Royal Institute for International Affairs and the Council on Foreign Relations, which is the same organization, from the 1930s, they talked about building China up to be the superpower that would eventually take over towards the end of the millennium into the new millennium, the role of world police after the U.S. falters and is exhausted. And that's what we're seeing today. The U.S. is doing its final push. It will falter financially and so on and sink back, and China is to take over. Arnold Toynbee, that was the top internationalist for the Rhodes Scholarships, wrote about that again back in the 30s.
And what you're talking about is actually very frightening, because there will be a total change in this country if we're driven into China's ways. I mean, let's look at a documentary I really enjoy called Walmart, The High Cost, The Low Prices, and I brought this up yesterday. Now, sure, it's awful that the employees in the Canadian Walmarts and the American Walmarts, that they're paid, you know, between $6, $8, maybe $10 an hour. They don't get overtime. There's no benefits. That's awful, okay? But what's even worse are the Chinese slave shops, where literal families spend nights in their Walmart dorms. They live in the factory. They're charged rent from the factory. And even if they decide not to live there, they still have to pay for that room. I think it's something like half the cost. I believe when I watched it back in 2005, 2004, they were being paid something like 35 cents an hour. And the rent on their room was like $171 a month. And if they didn't want it, it was still 70. I mean, those type of slave labor conditions, and they bring you inside the factory, are unimaginable in this country at this point. But really not that far in the future, is it?
It's not far, and here's how it works. You see, 100-odd years ago, 150 years ago, when they set up the big foundations, that was to take over this new role of what they call governance, global governance. They said that the duty, and this is in the Royal Council on Foreign Relations' own mandate, they say that they're creating a world state where everyone will serve the state. Now, when you look at the communist system, under the same facade as everyone worked for the state. Now, in the Western idea, we is camouflaged. You have the big international corporations, the Walmarts and so on, and technically they're producing, or they give out all the stuff that we need. So technically they're part of the big factory system, and we will all eventually serve the state. And all these big corporations technically are getting put over on us as being our benefactors. They're part of our system, our global system. We need them. Therefore, we will serve them. And therefore, we've all could be reduced down to the common denominator as working for the state, and those corporations will come under that facade. Under the communist system, technically, again, it's all technically or appearance-wise, everything was owned by the state, the means of production and the outlets. In the Western system, it's camouflaged, the outlets and the means of production are in the hands of a few families, basically, and we've all deserved that system. The Council or the Club of Rome stated that they'd looked at all the different systems the world had, and the one that was most efficient for their needs, for their use, in their view, was collectivism. And that falls right in with the Cecil Rhodes Foundation, which created the Royal Institute of International Affairs and the Council on Foreign Relations, where everyone would live in a collectivist society with a ruling class of elite intellectuals at the top, and aristocracy, and the masses would be run on a communistic-type system, and their one duty would be to serve the world state. That's what we're seeing, and all of the means of production and the outlets for production are in international hands, a few hands. They're all part of this collectivist system. That's why we're getting reduced with our wages and so on, down to the lowest common denominator.
And I also want to point out that our economy is being gutted here, and a lot of the money that we're borrowing from, the majority of the money, in fact, is from the Chinese. So if if they call in their debt, I mean, God knows what happened. Again, you know, I want to warn people that our economy is about to falter. All these military conflicts are just helping it. And, I mean, when do you see this happening? Obviously, the United States seems to be trying to prolong their power by having Georgia invade South Ossetia with NATO forces, you know, surrounding Russia, trying to coax Russia into a large-scale attack. They've already fooled most of this country into believing the bear is back and that they, you know, attacked with no reason on South Ossetia when we know very, very different. Is this what they're trying to do? Are they trying to bring in a military conflict to bring in the end of the United States, or do you think that they're just going to drop the economy all at once?
Well, they did. You know, through the big think tanks and the top think tanks for planning future strategy to attain this world system is the Club of Rome. And in their book, The First Global Revolution, written by the two founders, who are completely interlaced with all the other big foundations, by the way. They all work together. But the Club of Rome stated that they'd have to create a war situation, a prolonged war situation, because they could ram their agenda through under the guise of war, because the public go along with it. We take rationing, we take ID cards, we take limited travel, all the things that come from war. And that's why after 9/11 it was stated this is going to be a 100 years war. It's to change all of society, like Carl Quigley said. That's what war's main function is to change culture and society, because government departments can multiply like cancers and take over all the functions that the citizens normally do themselves. they take the power from the citizen under war. And this is a war to change the entire planet. It's not just the U.S. The U.S. has its role in it. Its role is to bring it in. And once it's exhausted itself financially and through manpower and so on, is to submerge, and then China is to take over. It's so amazing to realize that China was a main enemy. Communism, supposedly, was the antithesis of capitalism. That's what the public were taught. It's not true, because capitalism created communism. They funded it from its inception. And what they really wanted, the elite wanted, and the aristocracy wanted, was a manageable society where there was no individuality. So individuality is destroyed under communist systems. And they wanted to bring the same system to the West and manage the whole planet that in that way. They've been very successful. Individuality is frowned upon today. In fact, you're down as a potential terrorist if you're an individual. And they're teaching collectivism in the schools, and already, so that this generation growing up in the school system will merge easily with the communist-type system of China and the old Soviet-type Union.
Well, let me give an example of that, actually. Again, with the Olympics, I downloaded, because I missed it, the Australian feed of the Olympics, and it opens up with a young Chinese boy talking about, you know, one world, and then an Australian girl coming on and saying one world together, and then they're both on screen together, and they're hugging and embracing, and, it, you know, we can make this one world. It's much like Obama goes all the way to Berlin to give his New World Order speech, where he talks about global citizenship and the fact that we will be required to do more, not less, in the future as a global citizen. Do you realize that, folks? There are a lot of people out there, I used to be one of them, who work 60-plus hours a week. How much more do they expect?
Mm-hmm. What they mean by that is your life is dedicated to serving the world state. That's what they mean by that. That's put implicitly in the mandate for the Council on Foreign Relations and the Royal Institute for International Affairs. Every citizen, in fact, you won't get born unless they have a duty for you to fulfill. That's also in their mandate. It's a controlled society. It's global family planning on a large scale, and it's been taught. It has been taught in the school for the last 15, 20 years. Now it's on a roll. They're really indoctrinating the ones, even in kindergarten, for the world they're going to grow up into. So this is a scientific indoctrination planned for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
I couldn't agree with you more, and really it is quite frightening. A lot of the people that I went to high school and college with did end up becoming teachers in middle and grade school. And, you know, they just tell me these horror stories. My one friend, Matt, was like, you know, he walked in one day, and they literally had DNA swab kits for his kids. No permission slips, no one told the parents, and he was expected to administer these to the children. He said, look, I'm not giving these to my kids until I see a permission slip, and I know that all the parents were called. This is insane. You know, another example of, you know, the surveillance society that we live in is my friend Amy. She was teaching a fifth grade class, and she also happened to be coaching softball. She'd often go to her classroom after school to change. And she was in there with her mother and her sister. Her mom was the school nurse. And they were cleaning up, and they noticed in the center column, usually where the outlets are plugged in, there was a dummy spot. And in the dummy spot was actually a hidden camera. So she got worried. She couldn't believe what she had seen. She put a Post-it over it, and she went away. It was on a Friday. She came back Monday to school, took the Post-it off, and magically the camera was gone. Now, she didn't want to be accused of paranoia, so she went down to the superintendent's office, and she said, look, we saw a camera there. I put a Post-it over it. My mother can verify it. And the guy's like, well, yeah, I kind of want to talk to you about that. Well, you know, the camera wasn't really on, and we had somebody stealing in that classroom with the teacher who was there last year, so it was just in place. But, of course, that doesn't make sense, because if the camera wasn't on, they wouldn't have been able to track and trace it and pull the camera. So, obviously, they were watching her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But we're turned into surveillance society, and the message is loud and clear for those who don't quite get it. The elite claim that they own us. Now, lots of people in a socialized system are quite content being owned, as long as they can go and play. But the playing is going to stop one day, and they're all going to freak out. And that's why they've built up internal armies to take care of the fallout when it all comes out in the open. But that's what the statement is. You are owned. You have no rights. And the only way you can get them, your rights, is to, first of all, I'd really like the people to try this, try and be really indignant. Once in a while, just start with being indignant when you've been frisked or told to bend over or have little Johnny give his fingerprints at school or whatever else it happens to be. Start with indignancy, because your ancestors fought battle after battle after battle to have the right to be free so that they were not owned by the king. And here we are right back in the same place, and the people don't recognize it because they can still go out and play at the moment.
Well, they're too busy sucking down Jenny Light, getting home from work, watching their sports team, only to cuddle up at night and watch American Idol, which is just this total blasé mesmerization of the American populace. We're with Alan Watt of CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. I'm Jason Burmis, in for Alex Jones. Remember, Fabled Enemies drops August 31st on PrisonPlanet.tv. Get your DVD at InfoWars.com.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup.
All right, folks, we're back. That's the great Johnny Cash on the line right there.
Offered cup.
Got some good tunes that guy does. We're with Alan Watt of CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. Alex's live video feed is now up over at InfoWars.com as they pass the DNC Detention Center. He's going to be joining us shortly, and we're going to be taking your calls in this last half an hour with Alan Watt. And Alan, you've dropped some serious names and organizations. One of them I wanted to talk about was Carol Quigley, who was kind of in on it. I mean, he was part of the elite crowd. They let him look at their documents, Cecil Rhodes and the Roundtable Group, and he came out with a book called Tragedy and Hope, in which he described these guys as plans for world government, and he wasn't down with all the means, but he was down with the end, so he promoted it. And of course, this guy was also, you know, Clinton was his protege, and he talked about him in his inauguration speech and other speeches about Carol Quigley. So, of course, Clinton is part of this group. Of course, Bush is part of this group. But I kind of want you to touch on the founding of the Council on Foreign Relations, because, of course, you know, Obama speaks at the CFR. His wife is a member of the CFR, and they just picked good old boy Joe Biden, who is another CFR member, to run as the VP nominee.
Well, the CFR is just the wing of the foundation that Cecil Rhodes began. The Cecil Rhodes Foundation merged with the Milner Foundation, and they created the Royal Institute for International Affairs. And in the 1920s, they opened their American branch. They couldn't call it the Royal Institute, so they called it the Council on Foreign Relations. It's the one and the same thing. It's the same organization. And their goal from Cecil Rhodes and Milner through the Royal Institute of International Affairs has always been to create a world governmental system where the eugenic superiors would run the world. A scientific elite would help the aristocracy and run us all in a collectivist system. And they state right on their mandate that everyone's duty will be to serve the world state. Serve the world state. That will be your purpose in life. Yeah.
It's unbelievable, and we're seeing more and more in that technology come out. And instead of being used to free us as human beings, it really is being used to enslave us as human beings. And, you know, some of these examples that I'd like to give out are these iPhones. All right, they track and trace you. AT&T was caught with the secret room. There's nothing we can do about it, apparently. National Security is called. We appeal that in a federal court and try to sue them, you know, not through federal court, but through a regular court, and they throw it out as well. These guys are all protected under the National Security Act. It makes me sick. Meanwhile, I'm not sure if you're aware of this guy named John Kanzius, but I've been playing it on the show every once in a while. There's this guy out in Erie, Pennsylvania, that not only cured his cancer with radio fields and precious metals, basically injecting himself with nanoparticles of gold and then running himself through these radio waves that kills the cancer, but he also found a way to make salt water burn. Now, that's salt water, folks. Listen to me here. He literally has it burning at 1,500 degrees centigrade, and no one's talking about it. He fit his car, to run on 4/5 water. The companies don't want you to know about this because they don't want you to be energy independent. Instead, Alan, they want to make you feel guilty for your quote-unquote carbon footprint and get you to pay a tax. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, you're supposed to be interdependent. Independence is taboo. It's forbidden. Interdependence is the mandate for the world. Yeah.
All right, we're going to be taking calls on the other side. This is the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis. Remember, you can get Fabled Enemies over at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv.
Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I am Jason Burmis, holding down the command center over in Austin. Now, right now, we've got Alan Waugh on the line from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, and we got a few callers, Roy, Scott, Jeff, and more, and we're going to go to them into the next segment, but right now we're going to cut for about 2 minutes to this live coverage of the DNC that you can only see at Infowars.com. All right, let's go there.
Just piling out of this particular Baptist church vans all day. They've also got things marked as food services, a lot of other things. See, that's one of the vehicles that's been in there.
Unfortunately, now, folks, he's on a cell phone, so he may be breaking up in and out.
A week and a half ago, the news media was able to just, local CBS and NBC, were able to just walk in here. But they've got it blocked off now. But we've had police just swarming us all over the place. See, and this is strategically located with this railroad track, all these government buildings all around it. But let me show you.
And, folks, there is a large train station. We're going to go back to Alex in a little while, but again, I want to take this opportunity because I don't get to talk to Alan Waugh much. This is my first interview with him, and I really became aware of your work, Alan. I think it was winter of this year. Somebody passed along some of the Cutting Through the Matrix MP3s and whatnot, and we were listening to him out in Naples, California. And you definitely have a unique perspective. You're well-spoken, and you're a breath of fresh air, in my opinion, in this movement, because you're not somebody who tears other people down. You really are just looking at this system of control and trying to expose others to it.
Yeah, it's so old. And Quigley himself, in his other big book, which is worth reading, it's called The Anglo-American Establishment, he claims that this particular group that makes your policy, the Council on Foreign Relations, has so many members in the U.S. government and outside of the U.S. government and all through the bureaucracies of Washington, D.C., they create the policy for the United States. And he says they've been behind all major wars for the last couple of hundred years, this particular group, Anglo-American group, that went through different societies into the Cecil Rhodes group, into the Council on Foreign Relations. And it's the same bunch who are running this show. And their policy has always been to create a world governmental system which is efficient for them to rule over. And to do so, they must abolish, as I say, the main culprit, which is individuality, and make us a collectivist-type society. That has been also behind the push for eugenics and for literally removing certain genes.
All right, Alan, I got to interrupt you. Just because Alex is talking to somebody on the video, let's cut to that really quick, John.
And we're live streaming still.
As far as I know.
Excellent. Guys, are you there?
Yeah, we're here. What's up, Alex?
Okay, here comes a police van right here. Mm-hmm. In there, inside the FEMA camp.
Well,
you waved at us.
Yeah, I just saw you talk to somebody in a van, correct?
Yes, we just talked to, because it's a giant, like, half-mile-long warehouse, and there's still some, that's how the media's gone in here. And there we have one of the spooks just drive by. Show great interest in us. We're going to go ahead and just go inside. Here we go. Going into Mordor.
Excellent, Alex. And again, you can watch this live video feed over at InfoWars.com. If you can't get it to boot up, you just have to do a little bit of refreshing. And this is really going to be real guerrilla journalism all week. And then on Friday, we're going to wrap up the highlights. This is groundbreaking, Alex. I mean, we continue to break new ground every day in this info war.
And I just appreciate the great reportage you're engaged in. And I'm sorry to the guests this week, but all week they're going to be preempted and moved around. I appreciate Alan Watt being on the show.
Absolutely. We'll be back with Alan Watt, callers, and Alex Jones. It is the Alex Jones Show, InfoWars.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, folks, we are back at the Alex Jones Show. Alex is live from the DNC. We are with Alan Watt of CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. We're going to get back to Alan and your phone calls in just a moment, but we are going to go live to Alex, who on Justin.tv, you go to InfoWars.com, it's embedded there. You can see the police officers. He has just entered the facility in which they are detaining people unlawfully for protesting. So let's go to that feed.
You got me?
We got you.
Okay, Burmese, you just keep talking, filling in things when I'm not talking. Appreciate you and everybody else. We are about 80 yards, 60 yards from one of the little private prisons, and the police have taken an interest in us. So we're going to walk up and talk to him right now.
Yeah, I saw that.
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is amazing. Okay. It's absolutely cutting-edge broadcast journalism. We're watching it live on the air. Of course, Rob and Aaron and Richard Reeves doing a great job giving us all this info on video.
Why would they keep this secret? Why would they just admit what they were doing? Why was this kept secret? Come on, guys.
As they approach, I can tell you that there's two large buses that look like they're there to detain people.
Man.
I mean, I guess those are the vans that they're going to round people up to process them at this facility, correct? Well, you can't
at least
really
they're air-conditioned, the camp. It wasn't going to be air-conditioned before. They also removed the barbed wire and the sign that said electroshock. Once the public found out about this, they put air conditioning in last week, removed the Constantino wire on top of the fences inside, and removed the signs that said electroshock devices in use. It's meant to terrify and terrorize people when they came into the camp.
Very interesting stuff, and he just showed you the separate air conditioning facilities. That they look like they're mobile air conditioning facilities, as this is a mobile prison. Remember, these are makeshift prisons to make sure that dissent isn't out of control. Here we go.
How are you guys doing?
Alex is approaching the police officers.
Pardon me, sir, I can't hear over the generator.
Yes, I'm George from that area.
What is this?
We got about five cops there. It's hard to see what's going on.
Is this Denver County or City Jail after him? Yes, sir. Thank you. Why was this secret at first? Okay, thank you. Thank you, guys. Beautiful day, huh?
Oh, Alex and his charm.
Absolutely amazing. Thank you, officer. Can we have that number? Thank you.
And it looks like they have to leave.
I know everybody wants to post on the police state here, but look at how gorgeous the mountains are. The light is high on this camera. Just look at those clouds. I wish I was up in those mountains hiking right now. Instead of doing this,
I think it's probably just flying.
Yeah, overlooking the camp. Here, let me see. Overlooking the camp is some of the most beautiful scenery. The Rocky Mountains are off in the distance. And here you have all of this.
And you can take Alex's word for it. Let's go back to Alan Watt. But yeah, it is gorgeous there. I've been out to Colorado. The scenery is amazing. Alex just talking to some of the police officers outside of this makeshift detention center. And Alan, they really drilled it up for this in the months coming. I mean, they literally had black helicopters flying around. They broke out the microwave weapons. They even pamphleted the city with wrapped-up American flags with orange light sticks and a little propaganda card as well. So it's pretty outrageous the amount of preparation they've done for this event.
Yeah, it is too. It's also a way of getting the public used to this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a psychic form of separating them from the people and putting a barrier between you. Psychologically, subconsciously, you start to accept that's the natural order of things from now on. And so the more that they do this, the more we'll get used to it and accept that we're being ruled. See, it's all to do with making you accept that you're being ruled, not really governed by elected people, but ruled by people who are chosen by an intellectual group above you. That is what they call the natural order. And it's true enough, they do give us the candidates to vote for. The candidates are always handpicked, as Carl Quigley said, because they either belong to the Council on Foreign Relations, or they have been in it, or their wives are, and in fact, I think even Obama's wife is in the Council on Foreign Relations.
Yes,
so
she
they're
is.
All connected to the same society.
Absolutely. It is total and complete acclimation of the population to be ruled by a global elite in the backdrop. I mean, we are just so brainwashed and mesmerized. Most people have no idea that there's even three branches of government, Alan. They couldn't
tell you
that there's supposed to be checks and balances. That's why we have the legislative, the executive branch. I mean, again, they're there for us, but we don't know how to use them. We don't know about the judicial branch in this country. People just are so far gone, they think that these people on the television are there to tell them how to live and what to do and fix their problems. They have no idea about this housing crisis. They don't know what they're going to do when their banks falter. I mean, we are in some real trouble in this country as banks start to go under, as houses are foreclosed on, as people are no longer going to live in this cushy society, which they have in the last 20 years, which has really made them blind to all these problems.
Yes, and again, even the Council on Foreign Relations' own magazine, they put their own magazine out every month that gives you their long-term agenda. And I think 20-odd years ago, they stated in one of them that the U.S. Constitution was such a nuisance, it was always in the way of this big plan, so they'd have to do an end run around it. In other words, through tradition, through gradual acceptance, you won't need it anymore, and that's how you sort of gradually think about it in your mind, if you thought about it at all. You don't really need it anymore. Things have changed. Well, it was the only protection that you had to keep your sovereignty, and the whole idea was to demolish sovereignty. And all of these characters that are presented for you to vote for are complete globalists in their makeup, their psychological makeup, and in their family traditions. They're interwoven internationally with their own investments, in fact, and their own families are too. They're all internationalists. And Carl Quigley said it doesn't matter if there's Republican elite at the top or the ones in the Democrats. He says they're always picked by the Council on Foreign Relations, and all you have to do is have your presidents and your advisors in the Council on Foreign Relations. The rest of the lesser politicians can have a form of competition between them, but it doesn't matter. The ones at the top always belong to the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission.
Absolutely. Let's cut back to Alex. He just showed a shot inside one of these makeshift prisons where they literally had the Statue of Liberty, another hermaphroditic Illuminati symbol, actually. But let's cut back to Alex right now.
Yelling, screaming, cussing. Fox News yesterday only went to the bad protests, only went to one little group of young people going, F you, screw you, looking like total scum. Instead of all the women with baby strollers and the nice families. This is how they demonize anti-war folks. We're here at the DNC because the Democrats obviously were swept into office almost 2 years ago in the Congress, in the House, and Senate to supposedly end the war. You got over 90% of Democrats wanting to end the war, about 65% of Republicans wanting to end the war, the vast majority of the American people, close to 80%, but it doesn't end. So that's why they're putting this police state into place, because they know it's... All of these are used as drills, as training. They admit they are, to get them better and better at controlling populations. I am just so angry we didn't show up 5 minutes earlier, because we showed up here and the microwave gun was being wheeled out, and I saw it. I saw it. It had the jack so they could jack it up. It had the control system. It's exactly what we saw in 60 Minutes. Rob, come over here. Which one of you? I want to get Rob on camera. Rob, tell folks what you saw. Did you get it on video?
I got.
See, it's on this camera.
Yeah, I got maybe as I turned the camera around, the car was moving, and so
they came out. We're going this way. We were going that way.
So was the vehicle. So I might have caught like on the corner of the screen, maybe half a second of it. But I did see it. Like by the time my brain registered, it's like you got to hold the camera.
Yeah, I drove past it, man.
You got to look at it.
I got a good look at it.
All right, let's let Alex go. And we'll go right back to him again. They're still right on the scene at that detention center. Let's take some of your callers. Calls for Alan Watt right now. Let's go to Roy in Missouri. Roy, what's on your mind? Are you there, Roy? All right, if Roy dropped, let's go to Scott. Oh, you're there. Okay, what's on your mind, Roy?
Hey, anyway, what I was going to get at here was that it seems to me that the resolution to our problems have already been clearly defined in 1776. Which is, in the Declaration of Independence, it says it's our duty to throw off this government.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's why the Second Amendment's there, is that if this government ever gets out of control, the people are there to overthrow it violently if necessary. I agree with you there. I mean, absolutely. I just don't see people attempting to do so, not even peacefully, because they're just not in tune with the issues, Roy.
I'm curious about more than anything, maybe somebody can tell me, is that to properly do this, wouldn't we have to have like a representative from each state, you know, sign like a minorly rewritten Declaration of Independence to be produced to like Congress?
Well, let's ask Alan Watt. Roy, thank you for the call. What do you think, Alan?
Well, it is true. That's why they've taken so long to brainwash the American public and to basically amnesia. A state of amnesia. You must create amnesia in psychological warfare, and lack of will as well is another factor that comes into it. You do that by socialization and entertainment and keeping them busy with other things, so they're not involved in their own self-determination. So that has been a long psychological war that's helped this to happen. It's only at the beginning, when you see it beginning to happen, that you can actually take it into your own hands and do something about it, because you still have the will, you still have the memory of what you're wanting to retain and why you fought in the first place to try and get those rights. That's gone with the general public.
Exactly.
Now, Lincoln did state, though, that any one of the states, and so did Franklin, too, that wanted to withdraw from this confederation had the right to do so.
Yeah, I'm with you. Apathy has taken over in this country, and it is very, very unfortunate to do something. The people must have the will again. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. All right, folks, we're back again. It is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmes, filling in while he's down at the DNC detention camps right now. We've got Alan Watt of CunningThroughTheMatrix.com. We're taking your calls, and we're going live to Alex Jones right now. Let's see if Alex is on the line. Alex, are you with us?
They cordoned it all off. They basically told us they're going to arrest us if we touch the police line or get involved in it anyway. Let's go around the back and try to walk down there. I just want to thank the great team. I want to thank Bob up there at the office, one of my new IT guys. I want to thank the other people. I want to thank Trey, Kincaid, our producer. I want to thank the GCN Radio Network, Jason Burmes, and all of you, the viewers out there, for making this trip possible. We left Saturday afternoon, drove in yesterday afternoon to Denver. We left Texas, went to New Mexico up here. And again, this is where the shadow government's really based. Colorado is where the real government, they started building the shadow government, the underground cities, the Adam and Eve facilities, 1947 when the government went underground and was completely handed over to the foreign private banks. And now with NORTHCOM designating the United States as a theater of operations, we are literally living in a military coup, a military grid. But it's high tech. They're federalizing your local police. The feds paid for this secret prison. They lied about it, so it didn't exist. Again, what are local police doing running secret prisons? What are they doing running secret facilities? Why did they lie about that?
Let's go back to Alan Watt, because I want to get his take on these underground cities over in Denver, Colorado. For those that don't know, the Denver International Airport is just full of gargoyles, occultic paintings, sickles, hammers, all sorts of weird symbolism. And like Alex just said, you know, this seems to be the home of the shadow government. And the CIA, I think, is moving in one of their bases there. It's going to be larger than the one in Virginia. So this is a hub for this quote-unquote New World Order, isn't it, Alan?
There's no doubt they've been setting this up for a long time. That's part of this era we're going through. They envisaged this time would come when they'd have to push with military might to take over the whole planet and every and the mind of every person as well. And so they knew they'd have to start building up internal police forces, really militaries, to deal with the fallout when the public start to have their toys and their goodies taken away from them and their economy is gradually basically inflated out of sight till money is worth nothing. So they've been preparing for this for many, many, many years, and they're preparing for their own continuity of government as well. They have bases for the United States, not only in the U.S., they have one in Australia they've been building for 20 years for continuity of government in case they have to move to Australia. So this is an international elite, remember, and the world is their playground, and they rule over us. Even when they keep us under the illusions, occasionally when it suits them, that we're still in national sovereignties.
All right, let's take another caller. Let's go to Scott in Arizona. Scott, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason. And I'll lie. One of my questions that I have for is 80% population reduction down to 500 million. They've got to do this sometime soon. I don't think they're going to hold off for many years to make that to happen. The only way they can get this military... where you can go, where they're going to surround us up into camps, is they're going to have to unleash some kind of bioterrorism on us and a big grand scale or a nuclear war to get us into camps, because no other way they're going to be able to do it.
Well, you know, I've heard that, you know, they possibly may use Codex Alimentarius, which is a food regulation, to just, you know, basically make the population so sick because they don't have the proper nutrients that they will die on their own. I thank you for the call. What's your take on that, Alan?
Well, people have already been dying en masse. It's not all together at the same time, but we've been dying increasing in numbers with pre-aging diseases for the last 30 years, and it's escalating. There's never been a time when there's so many tumors of all kinds hitting younger people, not just from the cell phones, but from other means as well. They've also denaturalized your food until there's hardly anything in it worth eating. And they just 2 days ago passed a law in the U.S. that they can irradiate your vegetables as well to make sure that there's nothing worth eating. And the only thing that's worth eating probably is the E. coli, because it's the only source of protein left. So I'm not kidding you. They're basically making us so unhealthy and so unfit, which falls into the whole plan because we have poor nourishment, poor nutrients. Like Malthus said, the people can't think too swiftly. They're more obedient to do what they're told. They're always lethargic. That falls right in with the line, again, of what they want to do. Plus, their weakened immune systems make them wide open to die off from even simple viruses or bacterium, which normally would not affect them.
Absolutely. Alan, you are just a great guest. We hope to have you on soon. I hope to have you on maybe again this week. It's Alan Watt, CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. We're going to be back with Alex Jones from the DNC and Marty the Soap Man Schachter. I'm Jason Burmis. You can get Fabled Enemies over at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Can we pull up that Alex Jones? I don't know if you guys heard me.
Richard?
There we go.
How's this going?
It's going well. We're Been up ever since we started a little while ago, I guess about 20 or 30 minutes. Got the camera exposure adjusted. So
give me your analysis of what's happened since we left Austin Saturday afternoon.
Well,
we got prisoners. Stand by. We got prisoners. That guy in the Miata's intelligence bureau, he must have been spying. He's going to file a report.
And what we're looking at here are, you know, the detentions.
Sorry about the shaking.
Taking,
we're about 300 yards away, folks. God, I wish I had a tripod. We should have brought a tripod. Bad call I made not getting the tripod out here.
Alex is always the biggest critic of himself. All right, we're going to cut back to Alex as soon as we see any kind of action. We see a couple people being detained, but right now we have Marty the Soap Man Schachter, and he has some great products of Cal-Ben soap. I was actually introduced to the stuff when I came out to Austin, Texas. They gave me a few bars of it, and I got to tell you, no rashes, no irritation. It's a great product. Marty, are you with us?
Can you make your volume higher?
I can. Yeah, I can try to have the GCN guys turn up the volume on their end. Done. Can you hear me a little bit better now?
Barely hear you.
You can still barely hear me, Marty.
Hear you now.
Okay. Excellent. Well, I was just saying how I came out here in April, and a couple of the guys within the office turned me on to your Cal-Ben soap products. Obviously, the bar soap is what I use the most, but it's really great stuff. It's pure. It's clean. Why don't you tell the people about it?
Well, my slogan here for the company is, my business is going down the drain. Or, it's fun to sell a ton.
Absolutely, and they can buy this in bulk and really save about two-thirds to three-quarters of their cleaning bill, can't they?
Well, that's what I want to go over. We have some exciting news for the Alex Jones listeners. If they check my website, which is 5starsoap.com, they will see now a beautiful photograph of our 3 to 4 year supply of Pure Soap products. Now we're talking about 156 weeks for supplies, or it could go up to, depending on the family and their washing habits, it can go up to 208 weeks of supply. Now we're talking about 156 weeks is $2.25 a week. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to multiply 225 by 156, and that'll give you the total cost factor. And if you really want to save some big money, then get our 4 to 5 year supply, which is listed on our website now. The total cost of that, including freight and taxes, is $455. Sounds like a lot of money. But now we're talking about 208 weeks.
Well, you're talking about, honestly, spending so little money. I mean, for 5 years, you're literally talking less than $100 a year to clean your clothes, to clean yourself. It's unbelievable, and this stuff is non-toxic.
Completely natural, triple concentrated, long-term investment. Now, this is something that would be, you know, it's without cleanliness, we have no civilization. And this cleans you thoroughly, honestly, pure. And this is, we're the only company in the United States of America that offers for $2.10 a week everything. All their bath soap, hair soap, dish soap, laundry soap, cleaning accessories delivered to their home. They don't have to haul it from the supermarkets. They don't have to keep inventory on it. They can put it in their garage, shelf it, and have a long-term investment. Now, investment means to save money. That's an investment, and that's what we're talking about, saving lots of money, getting products that are twice as good as what they're getting now, and we unconditionally guarantee it. We're not a fly-by-night. We've been in business for 61 years. Family company, not a corporation, family partnership, and I'm the owner and founder of the company. I've been with it since 1947. And there's nothing like it anywhere, in any part of the country, with any company.
Absolutely. It is truly a product that you can trust, and a product that has really done me nothing but good things. And, you know, when I came out here, I washed my clothes for the first time, and I started getting itchy. You get that sometimes when you use these detergents that they sell at the supermarket. You don't get that when you go to 5starsoap.com, do you?
No, because the coconut oils and the vegetable oils lubricate the fabric, lubricate the skin so that it removes all the toxins, all the detergents, all the toxic ingredients, all the antibacterials, all the crap they put in there, to all the fillers and the non-invasive materials. Who needs it? They have a choice now. And this is what's so great. Alex has been using our products now for over 4 years, and he says it's wonderful. And it's good enough for Alex. It's good enough for you.
Absolutely. I mean, it's good enough for me. Like I said, I've been using the stuff, and I don't think I can go back. I'm probably going to have to order some when I go to New York. But really, why don't you just go over all the different products that you do offer? I mean, you run the gamut. Anything that needs to be cleaned, you take care of.
Well, I could get a bulk package of 3 to 4 or 4 to 5 year supply, lasts a long time, saves them a tremendous amount, thousands of dollars worth of cash. They can also, maybe they think they're a little, I'm not sure, sounds too good to be true. Well, I'm telling you, it's good and it's true. They can get a free catalog describing everything in detail. They can also, to be on the safe side, order a 1 month supply, which is a sampler supply, for $20 plus shipping to their home. It'll last 4 to 8 weeks, depending on the family, and that gives them not something that lasts a day or a week. We want to detoxify the skin, the laundry, the clothing, the environment in their home, and that's why we say 4 to 8 weeks. You'll know what you want, what you can use, what it costs you. And this is our guarantee, unconditional, 100%. We're talking about the four basic products: bath soap, which is our pure soap bar, granulated laundry soap, not a detergent. You use it by the teaspoonful. We're talking about a triple concentrated cocoa butter shampoo. Again, nothing like it in the country. You will not only use it, you will not only like it, you will love it. Also, liquid dish soap, a cream, a white cream for pots, pans, utensils, all-purpose cleaning, floors, windows, just about everything. Now, the only product that's not a soap is the powder that goes in the automatic dishwasher. You can't use a soap in a dishwasher. It'll suds you out of the kitchen. So we have an all-natural powder, a degreasing powder, that will clean the cups and the pots and the pans and the dishes and the silverware immaculately. This is it. 5 products, 5 stars to do 200 jobs. You don't have to buy your window cleaner and floor cleaner and all-purpose cleaner and pre-soaks and after-soaks and wool light and all the chemicals and additives and toxic ingredients that are available in a supermarket. You'll go by the aisle, which is one-third of that supermarket, and you'll go, don't need you no more. And that's our goal, to get you in with pure products, with safe products, with natural products, with cost products that are a fraction of what you're paying now.
And that is just the amazing ability of these products. Again, I've used them, and they are amazing. And I haven't tried the stuff out for the dishwasher soap, but I intend to. And again, folks, you don't understand, you absorb things through your skin. So when you're in the shower, you're absorbing the harmful chemicals that are being put off by your Irish Springs or your name brand soap or your shampoo as well. You're not going to get that with this stuff. It's non-toxic. It's healthy for you. And, these pure soap bars are simply amazing.
This is what we try to educate, not sell, but educate the consumer that they do have freedom of choice of buying something that's not available in the supermarket, not available by mass merchandisers. We are not a billion-dollar company or a small family company that knows what we're doing. And that's important. We know it. That's why we can guarantee it. And we're talking about a cost factor. I mean, we're talking factory direct. We eliminate the middleman, the broker, the wholesaler, the jobber, all these people that mark up the products. And right now, it doesn't take much to go to the supermarket and look in the shelf. And I tell you what's really aggravating, there are no prices on anything. There is a barcode on all the products, and you have to go to the checkout counter to read the barcode, and we'll sell cleaning, $5.95, concentrate, $12.95. It doesn't even specify the brand and the quality and the kind of product you're buying. absolutely zero. So you don't know whether you're getting ripped off or not, because you don't know what it costs you to buy the Tide and the All and the Dash and the Cheer, and it don't take much to pick up a bar of Zest or Dove or Irish Spring. Read the panel. They have anywhere from 15 to 20 chemicals in the bar. It's listed right on the bar. And the predominant item is sodium chloride. And you're thinking, sodium chloride must be a new cleaner. No, sodium chloride is table salt. All these products have a vast majority of table salt. Now, why table salt? Doesn't clean. Would you wash your face, your body, maybe with table salt? Give me a break. It's a filler. It's an inert ingredient. It's a weight enhancer. You don't need it anymore. A toll-free phone call. You can get our free catalog. Read about everything. You can call us toll-free at 800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. You can look us up at the web, 5starsoap.com. That's 5 the number or 5 the letter. Makes no difference. 5starsoap.com, and they'll open up your eyes. We're going to take you out of coach and put you into first class from now on in. Not only for a year, but for 4 or 5 years, for 10 years, as long as you want. You will have a quality that you won't believe. You won't believe how your skin will feel refreshed and clean and magnificent when you get out of the shower, when your towels won't smell from the perfumes, and the air won't be instigated with all kinds of smells. Don't need that anymore.
Well, I'm with you 100%. And it is an exciting product. And again, I mean, if you really look at the cost, it's only about $450. You said that's less than some people's rent.
That's for 5 years.
Yeah, and that's for a 5-year supply. You're talking about something, you know, you spend that on rent a month. It's pretty wild that you're able to get that much of a supply. It's a 5-year supply. And that's for a family, too, isn't it, Marty? It's not just for one person.
That's for a family of four.
Mm-hmm. So if you're single, you're talking about, or you just have a girlfriend, you're talking about a 10-year supply for $450.
For a small family, $1.75 a week. What could you buy for $1.75? A bottle of shampoo is triple that. Four bars of soap is over $1 to $2. All the prices are unbelievable. And we're talking about fractions, savings, cash. Stop worrying about $4 a gallon for gasoline when you can spend and save the kind of money that you can put into your gas tank immediately. Not 6 months away, not a year away. Right now, within 24 hours, we can turn you around to a type of product and cleanliness that I've spent 61 years of my life getting those things concentrated, getting them improved, getting them so that you will love them. And I guarantee it.
Absolutely, and I've used these products. They are amazing. They continue to surprise me, and I can't wait to use the dish soap. That should be pretty exciting, but I'm telling you, folks, the bar soap, the shampoo, it's amazing. It is non-toxic, and you would not believe how much of these toxins that you ingest into your system, you breathe in, you acquire through contact through your skin, it penetrates you. And you're going to want something that's healthy for you and your family. I mean, if you have children, this should be a no-brainer, shouldn't it, Marty?
Absolutely. It's made for the newborn baby to the old grandpa. Everyone in the family can use our bar soap, our hair soap, our dish soap. There's no limitations. They all are triple concentrated. They all got to be used very sparingly. We don't want you to waste the products. We want to save you money, give you products twice as good as what you're getting now. Every time I talk about it, I get so excited about this because we got something to share, especially to Alex Jones listeners, clients, lovers. We want to get it into your home, and you will enjoy it. You will call me up or fax me or email me and say, Marty, where have you been all my life? Well, how come I never heard of you before? We're the world's best-kept secret. Nobody knows about us. That's why for the last 3 years we've been on Alex Jones' show to tell the people their fine American choice with American products in their home.
And he's not fooling you, folks. This is a revolutionary product that Alex Jones backs, I back, we all back with that. Let's go to Alex Jones quickly at the DNC. They're looking at one of the detention buses.
Mass arrest forms in there.
There's the diamond grip examination gloves.
Yeah, the diamond here. Let's see this.
Don't get too close. Don't touch her. Don't touch Richard. It looks like you're getting up close to it. They're going to misconstrue that. Just come on over by me. Watch out, Richard. I know that cord gets in your way. Good job.
And there they are, folks, right outside of the detention buses.
Let's go ahead and go.
Now
let's
being
say bye to these folks.
Yeah, now being approached by the police officers. Let's see what they have to say. Just incredible footage live from the detention camps at the DNC. Alex Jones, Rob Jacobson, Aaron Dykes, Richard Reeves doing an incredible job for the InfoWars team. All right, let's cut back to Marty Schachter. And you can get all this great stuff at 5starsoap.com. Marty, tell them how else they can get in touch with you.
800-340-7091. You'll get to by me. Either my son will answer the phone, or my daughters will answer the phone, or I will answer the phone. We're here to serve you, take care of you. I'd like to close with a poem.
Absolutely.
If I may. First, we learn that fatty food will harm the heart. So far, so good. Aspirin, though, helps thin the blood and keep it free of sludge and mud. But now they tell us, fuddled folks, that fatty foods help ward off strokes. The paradox has come to grips. Eat aspirin with potato chips.
Oh, Marty, always the showman. It's 5starsoap.com. Thank you so much for joining us, Marty. You are the man, and you have a great product.
Pleasure talking to you. I appreciate that very much.
No problem. We'll be back with more of Alex at the DNC and me, Jason Burmis. It's InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. No rest for the wicked, folks. It's the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmis, and Alex is out at the DNC right now. And he was talking to a couple people by this makeshift detention center who were very well aware of provocateuring, of state-sponsored terror. It says it's not broadcasting now. I'm not sure if it is. If it is, can we go to it, John? It did cut out. All right, it cut out on you, too. I think that actually their laptop power is done. So hopefully they'll be rebroadcasting after they power up that laptop, and we will have more from you, or perhaps Alex will call in himself. Well, let's take this opportunity to get to some of the other callers that have been holding on patiently for quite some time. Now, let's go to Derek in Texas. Derek, what's on your mind?
Have me. Hey, yep. Jason, thanks for having me on.
Sure thing.
Started a campaign of a couple years ago, actually, getting the truth out on national radio, syndicated radio. If the audience isn't aware, each 30 seconds on a national syndicated show is about $3,000 or $4,000 in advertisement money. And I would like everyone that's listening to this show, because this show tends to be activists, to just take time out of your week to make one call to Rush Limbaugh, Hannity, Medved, whatever. Go in on the topic that they're talking about and immediately go to the NIST report, immediately go to the 9/11 Commission report, or whatever your particular item is. And Jason, since you're now in talk radio, give me or other listeners strategies, because if you're going to go to this topic, it's going to be pretty much a 30-second and you're out. And sometimes, like Mark Levin's show, they'll even delay you out. Give us some strategies on one and out. And then on, like, Michael Medved, he'll go toe-to-toe with you on 9/11 Truth. And, you know, like Friday, I called in, and he gave me 4 minutes to yak about the NIST report. Mm-hmm. So if you would, please touch on that.
You got it. Thanks for the call, man. All right, Derek, this is what I would do. First of all, you bring up the molten metal as fact, and you say, what do you have to say about the molten metal that was both taped on the scene of the World Trade Center collapse and then found in the days after under World Trade Centers 1, 2, 6, and 7? This was denied by John Gross of NIST, but has been confirmed by the NASA thermal imagery, and cut. That is one of the many things that I would use. I would also probably use the stance that NIST has retracted, that they had video and photographs no one else had that suggested that one-third of the lower south face was scooped out, or one-fourth of the entire building, 10 to 12 stories. I would ask their opinion on that. I would ask what their opinion is on the animations that they made from the blueprints and the fact that they did no scientific analysis to actually inject those beams with the proper physics. In other words, they should have certain physical properties. They did no such thing. They just animated what they felt happened. So those are three quick points. I mean, you got to be quick on your feet. You got to be well educated on the matter. I'm not sure everybody should be calling up these shows because some people just don't know how to talk. But if you are a gabber like myself, or you do know what's going on, Derek's got a great idea. I mean, Mark Dice, formerly known as John Connor, is calling for everyone to do this on September 11th, and I think we do. I think 9/11 Truth has to have a huge showing nationwide, especially calling into national radio shows like Limbaugh, Hannity, O'Reilly, Gibson, all these, you know, right-wing neocons, neo-Nazis, really, that continue to hide the truth and misconstrue the truth and basically string along these zombified audiences that are like, let's bomb the Middle East into a glass parking lot. Let's take over Russia. We can do it. We're number one. Woo! We need to get rid of that ignorant mentality. All right, let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, are you with us?
Yeah, hey, what's up, Jason?
Mm-hmm.
First, I wanted to say thank you for Loose Change. That is what woke me up.
Excellent.
I'd like to touch on what Scott was saying in Arizona.
All right, well, we'll come back to you on the other side. This is the Alex Jones Show. We'll have Bob Chapman as well, and we'll come back to Joe in Pennsylvania. Remember, you can get Fabled Enemies over at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv right now.
Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, folks, we're back. And hopefully Alex will be joining us on the phone sometime soon. We have Bob Chapman coming up on hold right now. But let's go back to Joe in Pennsylvania and give him his say. How you doing, Joe?
Oh, pretty good. I just wanted to touch on what Scott in Arizona was saying. From all the research I've been doing over the past few months, it looks like our time is short. I think they're going to probably use this Russia-Georgia thing to actually stage their next false flag attack here on our soil. That's what it looks like to me. And
so you think that the new terrorists are going to be white, is what you're saying?
Well, the old ones were, weren't they?
Well, not publicly, but now the Simon Wiesenthal Center is presenting these blonde, blue-haired Al-Qaeda. They're presenting architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth as a conspiracy theory group that's pro-Al-Qaeda. So, you know, anything's in the making, but keep going.
Yeah, but that's basically, you know, all the research that I've done, listening to Alex, watching all of your Loose Change editions, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, all of that pretty much says that we don't have years left.
I don't know if we have years left. We may have a decade left of, you know, sparse freedom here and there. But you know what? Let's take Bob Chapman's opinion on the matter. What do you think, Bob? Do you think that a false flag terror attack is in the works to be blamed on Russia now?
Possible, but not probable.
Mm-hmm.
I think they started to accomplish what they want to accomplish, and it backfired on them. And that might sound like an idiom, but it's not. Russia, over the weekend, told Israel if they continue to send armaments of offense to Georgia, that they're going to arm the other nations in their area with offensive arms, and they have talks going on right now with Syria. And that'll be the beginning. So there's the escalation phase has begun. And as far as false flag attacks based on Georgia and Russia, I don't think so. I think at this time, they're going to have a hard time pulling off some kind of a false flag attack because, you know, who do they blame it on?
I mean, that's the question. Who do they blame it on? Do they blame it on the traditional Al-Qaeda and try to say that Iran has something to do with it? Do they blame it strictly on Iran? Do they blame it on separatists or anarchists within the country? Do they now blame it on, you know, Russian spies? It's really wide open.
It is. So, and you know, how believable is it going to be after what you and others have done in the massive exposure of the scam that we just went through, which is 9/11 and terrorism? I think it's like the boy who called Wolf. He called once too often, and which in this case is only twice, if you want to call Oklahoma City one of them, and it probably was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that they just really made a mess out of things again, and I think they'd like to start and prolong hostilities in Georgia and in the Balkans, and I think that that will happen. And but I think, you know, even more importantly, the reason why they're doing that, in my mind, is that to take the heat off of Western Europe, Canada, United States, and their terrible financial and economic problems. And so whatever the reason, there's going to be continued conflict, and now Russia will be involved. And quite frankly, I don't think, with the exception of high technology weaponry, we're no match for them right now.
It's Bob Chapman from the InternationalForecaster.com. We're going to be getting his opinion on world affairs in the next hour. This is the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis subbing in. You can go check out my stuff at loosechange911.com or myspace.com/Jason Burmis. We'll be back after this, prisonplanet.tv.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, folks, we're back. It is the Alex Jones Show. We are with Bob Chapman of the InternationalForecaster.com. And I want to switch gears a little bit, Bob. I want to get your economic forecast for the United States for the next month. Where do we seem to be heading? It looks like, you know, gas has gotten a little bit cheaper at the pump. Doesn't seem like they're gouging food prices as much as they were perhaps 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. But what are we going to see now that the summer is ending and we're coming into the fall?
Well, I think prices are going to continue to move higher in food and in probably in energy, because I think oil and the energy complex, as well as the agricultural complex, are basing out. I think they're finding support. It'll wallow around here perhaps for another week or two in gold and silver, and I think it'll take a little longer for commodities to reset a bottom.
All right, Bob, I got to interrupt you just because Alex is calling in live from the DNC. I'm sorry about the preemption. We'll go right back to you. Alex, are you with us?
Yes. Thank you, Bob, for being with us. How's my cell coming in to you?
Very good.
Okay, I'm short. By the end of the show, and I may have you go into overdrive, if our new IT people can do that, if Paul and the other guys can do that, Paul and Bob, Paul Hartman, by the way, awesome guy. We need to bring him in studio someday this week so folks can see one of our new IT guys. But anyway, side issue, I want to thank the great crew that is there and everything that they're doing. You might go into overdrive today because the anarchists, the little hirelings, have blocked off a street again. We are now rushing from a FEMA camp, recharging our laptop batteries to go live over there. So getting through traffic, it's really hard to run the gauntlet, but we should be there. The police are marching in now. This already exploded yesterday with a bunch of people being arrested, being taken to the secret FEMA camp. And so I'm going to be calling back by the end of the hour, or maybe even into overdrive. I'll tell you we're going to overdrive, so I'll give you live reports. And again, there's that video feed up on Infowars.com that will be going live off and on throughout the day. Back to Bob Chapman.
All right, thank you. Yeah, we've got these live reports from the DNC all day, Bob, and I apologize for...
That's fine. that's you can always have me on again. But this is live, and it's exciting, and you're getting the scoop right from the street, so that's more important.
Well, what do you think about the DNC? Obviously, you've been on in the past few months. You know about the drills that they ran, the black helicopters. You know that they set up detention centers. You know that they're planning on using some of these microwave weapons. You even know about Recreate 68 and their attempts to try to provocateur violence and really shut down any form of real dissent. So, I mean, you know, it doesn't. We're trying to shatter the left-right paradigm. That's why we're at the DNC right now. What do you think the predictions are going to be for the weekend?
Well, I think that you will have the Jean Provocateurs there. And not only in 68 did they do it in the United States, but they did it all over Europe. And if you remember Danny Cohen-Bendit, he's been in the Bundestag in Germany for a number of years as an elected representative. So it shows you how things can turn. But and obviously he was working in a secret capacity and doing what he did in Paris. But, yes, they will continue to try to do that. And, you know, I had a conversation with Tony Hilder in 1964 about what we're seeing today and what we saw in the 60s. And what we were trying to do and still trying to do is bring the left and the right together, so to speak. And it's working. And we're all Americans, and we all want generally the same thing, peace and prosperity. And the other forces, the Illuminists who run our government, they're not very happy about that. And so whenever they can get an opportunity to create havoc toward their aims and goals, they will do so, and this convention is one of them. Did you see this morning the filing of a lawsuit against Mr. Obama by an attorney who is... we'll call him in the Hillary Clinton camp.
This isn't the Phil Berg one, is it? Is this the Phil Berg lawsuit
yes,
I've heard about?
All right, yes.
Well, Phil Berg, I mean, he's been, you know, he's dabbed in 9/11 truth, if you will, by representing some of the family members in an early lawsuit against Saudi Arabia. And I did do Alex's Sunday show yesterday. Someone did briefly bring that up, and it had to do with his citizenship, apparently, not being born in the States. You know, I think that's in both Corsi's book and Tarpley's book. Why don't you elaborate on that for us?
Well, it's basically the way that you've said it, and there is a reproduction of a document showing that he's an Indonesian.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the reproduction. In fact, we had it in the Forecaster as a link on Saturday. I believe either it's in the next issue. I can't keep track of it.
And that's apparently been corroborated by the Associated Press, is what I've heard.
And that's right. So what do they do at the convention? You know, this ought to be interesting.
Well, absolutely.
Because
I mean,
the Hillary fans are going to say, hey, wait a minute, this guy isn't qualified.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting, and they've been promoting this guy. What's your feeling on them taking Joseph Biden as the pick for VP? Obviously, one of these globalist guys, one of the good old boys, member of the CFR, well aware of the New World Order, given several speeches on the matter, wrote about it in the Wall Street Journal. What's your opinion of Joey B., as I like to call him?
Well, I think he is two things. Number one, the real strength in the ticket, from the Illuminist viewpoint, because he's been involved for a long time. And they, I guess, wouldn't mind having him as president if Mr. Obama were to be elected and stepped out of line that would be the Illuminati line. And if they had to assassinate him, then they wouldn't worry about it because they got Biden in there.
That seems
to
be the case.
I think that's the way they look at it, and that's why he was chosen.
Well, you know, I always thought the emphasis was either going to be on Hillary or Edwards, and then they burned Edwards with his affair scandal, and then it was kind of up in the air. It could have been anybody. And then they started mentioning Biden, and I guess I kind of lucked out because in my new movie, Fabled Enemies, I show Biden's ties to the Pakistani ISI and the fact that he was well aware that they were funneling money into the Taliban and Al-Qaeda through this inter-services intelligence organization that the CIA created in the 80s. And we get him to admit on camera that indeed General Mahmoud Ahmed was funding the hijackers and the Taliban, and later that evidence was classified. Now, he was a huge, tough talker on September 12th. He went before the House. He threatened Pakistan. And as you know, Pakistan cowed down to all of our demands. We were able to put troops there and launch them into the Afghanistan aggression right from Pakistan. And that government has been nothing but a U.S. puppet government for some time now. And now with Musharraf stepping down, nothing seems to change.
No. And the Bhutto family have been working for MI6 and the CIA for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know who killed his wife. He's the next candidate.
Yeah, his
wife. I don't know who killed his wife, but I do know firsthand that she was an agent.
I believe it. I mean, she seems to be that way. She did spread out that information. A lot of people have tried to get me to pick up on where she was on the BBC and said that Omar Saeed Sheikh, who was actually facilitating these wire transfers, this money laundering by the ISI for General Mahmoud Ahmed, had killed Osama bin Laden, and that he had connections to many an intelligence organization. And indeed, Omar Saeed Sheikh did. He was involved in the kidnapping of Daniel Pearl and his murder, and also involved in funding some of the 9/11 hijackers, quote-unquote. But I'm not quite sure that he assassinated bin Laden. That doesn't necessarily mean that I think that bin Laden is alive, but I think that that might have been some well-placed disinfo.
You could be right, and but that's the way that line looks. But getting back to Biden,
mm-hmm.
He is just doing exactly as he is told to do and has been previously in his position in the Senate. And so he'll do what they want him to do, and that's why they want him there in case they have to remove Obama. And, you know, we wouldn't be talking this way if we hadn't seen the assassination of John Kennedy, among many, many other people in the interim, the thousands and thousands of people that they've suicided in all of these things. And I've talked to Alex about this a number of times, and that puts us, you and I, in jeopardy as well, because there's going to come a time probably when they want to come along and whack us too.
Absolutely. If you don't think that, you know, people like Alex Jones, Bob Chapman, myself, Alan Watt, Kevin Ryan, the list goes on, are on some sort of a list, well, they're on public lists, folks. I mean, when you see the Simon Wiesenthal Center presenting us as terrorists, white Al-Qaeda, you better believe that we're on a list at Homeland Security. You better believe that we're on a watch list for the FBI. You just never know when they're going to decide to pull the trigger and say, that's it, we're going to round them up. I mean, the Patriot Act gave them this right with Section 802, basically allows them to arrest you for anything, really just thinking about committing a crime or not even thinking about it, just, you know, maybe talking about something that might be illegal in somebody's eyes, and they can detain you forever, basically call you an enemy combatant. You will get no trial, and even if you do get some kind of a mock trial, maybe a military tribunal, it's highly controlled. The media does not have access to you. You can be sentenced to, you know, 1 to 5 years, such as bin Laden's limo driver, but then they can just turn around and say, like, well, we don't know if we're going to be releasing him in 1 to 5 years. We might just hold him indefinitely.
It's really incredible, but what it tells people, if they get any brains whatsoever, is that you now live under a corporatist fascist dictatorial government. It's already begun, and you're seeing that in reference to what Alex is doing this week at the convention and the efforts that are being put into subduing anything that they don't want to happen. I mean, you don't run around with people in combat outfits with combat gear and combat weaponry to put down people who are screaming and yelling in the streets.
Absolutely not, and that's why they had these organizations like Unconventional Action and Recreate 68 to try to get the lemmings to come and protest in shields with red paint and armor and to provocateur these events, to destroy cameras when they saw them. They want nothing but violence here so they can shut down any sensible, meaningful, peaceful protest. We're going to be back with Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster on the other side. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Jason Burmis. Go get Fabled Enemies right now at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Right, folks, back. It is Monday, August 25th, 2008. Kicking off the DNC exclusive video over at Infowars.com. We're on the line with Bob Chapman of the InternationalForecaster.com. We're going to go to some of your calls, so hopefully you got a question for Bob or myself. It looks like Rasheen in New York has been holding the longest, so let's go to Rasheen. You with us? All right, let's go to Joe, or we already went to Joe. Let's go to Chuck in Indiana, then.
Hi, Jason.
How you doing, Chuck? What's on your mind?
I got a question for Bob. I've been reading over the weekend that Georgia is set to make another offensive against the Russian peacekeepers, and I just wondered what your thoughts were on that.
Sure thing. Thanks for the call. What's your thoughts, Bob?
First of all, I didn't see that. I certainly take your word for it. I don't see that happening. The Russian force will just come back in that's been removed, and this time they won't stop. You know, at Gori and some of the other places in the country, they'll just take the whole place over, and that could elicit NATO action. Although Georgia doesn't belong to NATO, I don't know how the U.S. will handle that. They would perhaps have to do it unilaterally outside of NATO. But were that to happen, that would be the result. And the Russians are perfectly easily capable of taking over Georgia and the Ukraine, for that matter, without any great effort whatsoever. Ukraine's making all kinds of noises about blocking the Black Sea Fleet from coming into Sevastopol. And I don't think they ought to do that. They may end up as a Russian satellite.
All right. Let's go to Norman in North Carolina. Norman, what's on your mind?
And I just want to take this opportunity to commend yourself and Alex and people like Bob who are fighting the good fight and doing it right. And you guys are an inspiration. I woke up in 2003, and I've been fervently pursuing the truth and sharing it with people and just trying to, you know, be the little bit of leaven that leavens the whole loaf. And I'm astounded at NIST that they have chosen to continue down the road of pathological science in the light of all of the empirical data, eyewitness testimony, and just common sense information that we have now. We know that Building 7 was obviously a controlled demolition, and it just amazes me that they continue down this road when we all know that the United States American citizen is the highest authority in this land, and we have valid questions, and we deserve valid answers.
Well, we need to start acting like we're number one, Norman, and I thank you for the call, and I thank you for all you've done. You know, without you, you know, we're not able to spread this message. Hopefully you're burning DVDs and handing them out. But, you know, of course they couldn't say controlled demolition. I mean, they didn't even do any tests to discredit explosives. You want to touch on the World Trade Center 7 NIST report really quickly, Bob?
No, I think you've covered it.
It's just unbelievable.
I'm not an expert at it, and I can't really add to it.
Yeah, but obviously you think it's a sham, correct?
Oh, absolutely. When I was watching television, and I looked at my wife, and I said, you know, that's a prepared demo. This thing's a setup. I knew right away.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And, you know, people like me who just were not in touch with, quote-unquote, the New World Order or globalization or false flag terror on 9/11, just were so dumbfounded at everything that was going on. I think that we were just willing to accept any explanation that was given, and things that went into the background weren't even thought about. I mean, we were under attack, and we knew who the enemy was, and the enemy was Bin Laden. So I didn't give it much thought, and a lot of people out there still haven't given it much thought. 7 years later, even though the Constitution and Bill of Rights are now down the drain, we're in two separate foreign nations as aggressors, Iraq and Afghanistan. We're now helping Georgian troops attack South Ossetia and Russia. I mean, the insanity has to stop somewhere, and I hope that it stops soon. You know, one of the other things that Norman might be able to do to, you know, help himself is probably invest in hard assets such as gold and silver. Can you tell him how he can do that, Bob?
Well, that's pretty easy. There's Midas, of course, at the GCN, and his deal is all over the country, who deal in gold and silver coins. And unfortunately, there seems to be a little bit or a large absence of lots of coins around nowadays, and it all depends on who you talk to. But there's a tremendous departure from the physical market and the futures market, which the physical market must win. The future market can't win. And incidentally, on the trading last week, the CFTC is going to have to act. Two banks were the ones who drove the price of silver down.
All right, we'll be back with Bob Chapman.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
It's the Alex Jones Show. Of course, we got our time zone screwed up, and we only have Kevin Ryan on for this segment, and we'll go back to Bob Chapman later, but I really want to discuss this new NIST report with Kevin Ryan, formerly of Underwriters Laboratories, who certified the steel structure used at the World Trade Center. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jason. It's good to be with you.
It's good to be with you. And, you know, we've interviewed you a couple times, the Loose Change Crew. You're a very gracious individual. You've dedicated now more than, I believe, 5 years of your life to trying to expose the lie that is, the controlled demolitions at World Trade Center 1, 2, and 7. Give us your thoughts on this latest NIST report.
Well, this is a very surprising report. It's really shocking in that it appears that NIST didn't really even try to come up with a legitimate story for what happened. We were expecting a great deal more from them, and there's just so many points that it can be criticized on. It's hard to even know where to begin.
Well, let's start with the fact that S. Shyam Sunder, the head of this investigation, if you will, the mouthpiece, talked to Popular Mechanics some 3 years ago now for their first article on the subject. I think it was in April of 2004 that they put this out. And he was quoted as saying that up to 25% of the building was actually scooped out of the south face on the lower third, up to 10 stories. And, you know, we provided video evidence and eyewitness testimony to the contrary, and they seem to have dropped that theory, if you will.
Absolutely, and what he actually said was, as you said, 25% of one-third of the face, which is one-quarter of one-third of the foundation, or mm-hmm. a twelfth of the foundation. That was misstated in the major media as being a quarter of the foundation of the building.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way they could have proven that, and the shocking thing, or the startling thing, is that the buildings on adjacent sides of World Trade Center 7 were not really damaged at all prior to the fall of Building 7. So just the probabilities that this one building could have this huge amount scooped out while the buildings on either side, equidistant from the North Tower, did not have any damage, that was incredulous, I think.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about the fact that they didn't even look at the molten metal evidence. We know that John Gross of NIST has denied that there was molten metal on the scene of World Trade Center 1, 2, 6, and 7. Even though we have the thermal imagery, we have Ken Holden before FEMA talking about it, we have numerous firefighters talking about it, we have the quote-unquote World Trade Center asteroids, which is a combination of the steel, iron, and concrete that mesh together in one formation. We even have, which nobody really talks about, the World Trade Center cross. Now, this was two steel beams that were fused together in the form of a cross with iron hanging off the side. All of it must have been moltenized for it to be able to become one solid state. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. And I've been searching through this report just this weekend, just briefly reviewing it. I can't find any references to the comments that FEMA made about the sulfidation and the high-temperature corrosion. So I'm still looking for that, but I doubt they're going to have any satisfactory explanation for molten metal or sulfidation in the steel, or the environmental data, of course, that we've recently put out.
And those are the microspheres in the thing that shows that this was moltenized.
Right. So if we find microspheres that match the residue of thermite, as Dr. Jones has done, then that pretty much indicates that there's something other than cleanup operations, and the metal had to be molten at some point in order to form spheres. So, yeah, molten metal is a key, and I doubt that they're going to have anything in this report that's going to explain any of that.
I doubt that as well, especially with them saying that the temperatures of the fire that supposedly caused thermal expansion and the detachment of one of the beams, I believe 79th beam or something like that, on the 13th or 17th floor, I'm not quite sure which one it was, but they basically said it was hundreds of degrees below the temperature they first expected, and instead of making a computer model where the steel beams and the concrete were given physical properties, they basically built their own computer model based on the architecture of the building and the blueprints, and then animated it to suit their needs.
Right. And the whole thermal expansion idea is interestingly opposite of what happened in the towers. So in the towers, the floor assemblies sagged, right? They weakened and sagged and then pulled on the external columns. In this case, it's the opposite. some small office fires, or relatively small office fires, created rigidity in the steel and actually caused the steel beam to become rigid and expand and lengthen, is what they're saying, and then somehow dislodge this column 79, which caused further collapse of floor segments. It's absurd because it's not believable in itself, but also quite opposite of all the other stories they've given in the past.
Well, that's the thing about criminals and people that are guilty of something. You know they're lying to you when they give you multiple versions of the same event. For instance, it was originally reported 20-plus minutes before the building fell that it fell because of debris from the North and South Tower and fires within the building. Later in the week, they said, well, it looks like the diesel fuel tanks must have exploded, bringing the building down. Later, it was one-third of the building was scooped out. And now we're into a realm that is just beyond belief, where they say small fires cause thermal expansion and one column detaches, causing, quote-unquote, a term they love and they have created, global collapse. Can you talk about global collapse for me?
Yeah, the idea of global collapse is where one segment of the building fails and then the rest kind of cascades in a failure progressively, then collapses to the result of global collapse. The whole building then falls. And generally, this is something that we see in earthquakes, for example, and never before in fire, and they admit that. They talk about this extraordinary event, and everything's extraordinary suddenly. The fire itself is extraordinary, although it doesn't heat up the steel very much. But I think what's very important here is this hair trigger column, which causes this 8-second or 6.5-second collapse of this building. Their NIST is now arguing over 40% difference on 18 stories as being significant.
Mm-hmm.
But 6.5 seconds or 8 seconds total, that could never have been predicted by anyone, right? And we can all imagine that. If this is happening for the first time ever, and one column is like a hair trigger, you know, switch that causes the whole building to fall in on itself, nobody could predict that. But yet, a number of people did predict it.
Now, you're a member of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, correct?
Yes.
And Richard Gage is currently working on a new paper to go over all of these flaws within the NIST report. We had him on Friday. But it is really just completely ludicrous what they're expecting us to swallow. And the mainstream media is now touting this as the final word on Building 7. I mean, do you expect follow-ups by Popular Mechanics? Do you expect them to parade this report around now that we're close to the 7th anniversary of 9/11? Are we going to see this in the news on 9/11? What do you think?
Well, I'm not really sure what to think, Jason. This is the story is so weak, it makes me wonder, and there's a couple of options that I can think of. Either, for example, it's just the anniversary and they need to say something quickly, or those of us engaging in the independent investigation are getting close enough where they'd just like to close the books on the whole thing and move forward. I'm not sure what to think on why they would put out such a weak story and just leave themselves open to criticism. But, you know, there's a lot of things that could be said. There are several blatant lies in the story, and this investigation clearly took 5 years. They've been saying 3 years, but they worked from August 2002 to June 2004, and they produced literally hundreds of pages of a detailed report on World Trade Center 7 that were part of either the report they put on the towers or was a preliminary report in 2004. And so they'd worked on it for 2 years before they started their three-year new investigation. That's one lie.
Mm-hmm.
They also talked about how they were very open to discussing alternative theories, and that's a blatant lie. There have been multiple invitations from independent investigators to discuss this openly with NIST. They've never even responded to those invitations. You know, my own story, being fired from a job just for politely and professionally asking questions of the NIST team.
Through the proper channels, might I add. I mean, you were writing professional letters based on their research, contradicting what they were saying, correct?
Absolutely, and being as respectful as I could possibly be and never receiving any response other than termination within 5 days from Underwriters Laboratories. And so it's clear they were not very open to discussing alternative theories. But, you know, I think this whole thing where they're now saying that they looked into explosives And they say that the way they did this was they imagined that someone put a very large bomb next to Column 79, and you know that is something that would have caused a sound that would be too loud, and people would have remarked on this very loud sound. That's their logic.
And they also said that the decibel levels on the videos would have disproven the use of explosives, when your main hypothesis over at Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth is that they use thermite or thermate, which does not make a large boom-like sound. In fact, it just cuts through the columns rather easily without much of an explosive sound at all. Isn't that correct?
That's right. And the only comment that Shyam Sunder made about the thermite possibility was a little absurd as well. He said that the thermite would have to be held close to the column, so that didn't make any sense to him. And of course, we've done some investigation and found out that there's a type of material called nanothermites, which can be sprayed on or dip coated onto things like steel. And just turns out that the NIST team has a lot of connections to these materials.
Yeah, please talk about that, because that never gets any play, and I know that Alex would love to hear it. Talk about these NIST guys' connection to thermite and thermate research.
Yeah, well, I started looking into this because I found a few stray connections, and there's an article at the Journal of 9/11 Studies just from last month called The Top 10 Connections Between NIST and Nanothermites. And it turns out that some of their directors, for example, the Arden Beemett guy, who was nominated by George W. Bush just a month after September 11th, has a lot of connections to this kind of technology. He was also director at Battelle, which is an interesting organization that manages national laboratories, including the Fort Detrick Laboratory, where the anthrax came from. But there's another director who replaced him called Harach Samerjian, and he wrote quite a few papers with the world's leading expert on nanothermites. His name is Michael Zachariah. There is Foreman Williams, who is quoted often by Popular Mechanics and is the lead engineer on NIST's advisory team, who is an expert on the energetic the ignition of porous energetic materials, and that's exactly what we're talking about with nanothermites. It really goes on quite a bit, and if you read that paper, I think you'll be startled to see that NIST would never have thought, somehow they would never have thought of these materials. They don't know how thermite might be applied to this day. They don't know that thermite can be explosive as well as incendiary. And those things just aren't, those statements by NIST now just aren't believable. And I think that people ought to call them on these things, and of course we will with our response to this report.
Well, they say that they're going to be taking alternative information or any information the public has until September 15th, I believe, and I hope that everybody out there forwards them Barry Jennings' interview of explosions inside the building prior to either tower collapsing, and he's not the only one that was there. He was with Michael Hess, the City Corporation Council. Both went on the news that day. Both talked about these explosions inside the building. We know for a fact that Barry Jennings not only talked to FEMA, because he is in the FEMA report, but he also talked to the 9/11 Commission. So this guy's testimony is on record. He is one of the few people that was in the building, and I will bet dollars to donuts that he was not even considered in this final report, Kevin.
Oh, I'm certain of that. Yeah. I wonder if they talked to him at all for this report, but I doubt it.
No, I doubt it as well, because if you saw that hack job on the BBC about a month ago, it was very apparent that Barry told the same exact story, minus the bodies in the lobby, as he was always saying we, and he was talking about the many explosions. But they edited it in a manner to make it look like he was alone. They did a reenactment of just him there. They took out any corroborating evidence that Hess was there, and then they distorted his timeline by going to other eyewitnesses saying that they had evacuated after, I believe it was the second plane strike or the Pentagon being hit, which is totally ludicrous because Barry puts himself there after the first plane strike before the second one.
Yeah, the interview that you posted, Jason, the Loose Change Crew posted, is really stunning, and it contradicts the BBC approach quite clearly. Mm-hmm. Jennings talks about looking out the window and seeing no evidence for any collapse of the towers after this explosion, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. He says that he looked both ways, and the towers were there, and then he says that as he was talking to firemen, they ran away as the first tower went down. Then they came back. Then he was talking to them again, and then the second tower fell. Then they came back. They didn't get him out of there for another hour and a half plus. And when they did get him out of there, they took him down into the lobby and they had to make a makeshift hole. And he said it looked like, you know, explosives had went off in the lobby. And he said he was listening to these explosions inside and outside. He could feel them from underneath him. Him and Michael Hess were almost killed by that initial explosion while they were in the 8th to 6th floor being blown back from that explosion from underneath them. And I can almost guarantee you that his testimony was not even considered because it would cause an alternative hypothesis. And they really have no interest in looking at the truth.
I agree. We see no evidence that they have any interest in pursuing the truth at NIST. In fact, we're starting to believe that there may be strong connections between those who were involved in the investigation and those who committed the crimes. And I know that's a stretch to say that, but I can't imagine another reason why people would be so persistent in avoiding the truth as NIST has been.
You know, being a member of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, I'd like to hear how you feel that the Simon Wiesenthal Center literally showed Al-Qaeda snuff films right before flashing Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth as a terrorist website. I mean, first of all, you're an American citizen. You have no ties to radical Islam, to terrorists of any nature from any country. How does it make you feel when you see yourself being demonized and this group being demonized for doing nothing but applying real science?
Well, it's troubling, that's for sure, and that's a smear campaign. There's no question about that. So I know some people may respond in ways where they're trying to protect themselves from assumed accusations, and there have been no accusations that I know of toward the Simon Wiesenthal Center from the 9/11 Truth Movement. But the 9/11 Truth Movement, in my view, the people I've met, they essentially represent the American people. That's who we are. We're not, you know, we're not terrorists. We're not connected to any political organizations per se. We have no agenda other than just getting to the truth. And I think it's abhorrent, really, that we would be smeared like that, just asking for the truth that we need in order to survive in the future.
Absolutely, our entire, you know, way of life depends on it. The future of our freedom in this country depends on it. The future of our constitutional republic truly depends on getting the truth out about 9/11. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Our entire foreign and domestic policy is based on 9/11. Kevin, any thoughts to wrap up? How can people help?
Well, I tell you what, you can go to Architects and Engineers from 9/11 Truth, and there is something you can copy there and send to every architect and engineer you can find. That's what Richard Gage is asking for.
All right, Kevin, thank you so much, man. Thanks for joining us. It's Alex Jones. We'll be back after this.
He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone.
All alone, all alone in a time of need. All right, we're back. It's the Alex Jones Show, having a little bit of fun in light of some of the more serious things that we discuss on this program, including the falsified NIST report, where fires 100 degrees below the once-thought temperatures cause thermal expansion and a complete demolition of a 47-story skyscraper that housed the largest CIA base outside of Langley, the largest Secret Service office in the world, the SEC, the DOD, the IRS, and, of course, the Office of Emergency Management. But go back to sleep. It was just fire, of course. All right, let's take some callers. Into the next hour, actually, we're going to be taking callers until we get Bob Chapman back on at around 2:30. Alex should be popping in shortly, and we may even go into overdrive to bring you even more exclusive DNC footage. All right, let us go to, I believe it is Mark in Florida. Mark, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Jason?
Good, man.
Good, good. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Trade Center, the Building 7 announcement of Cheyenne Sunder. I think it's very weak, just even from a non-scientific point of view. If you just look at it philosophically, experimental science studies repeatable phenomenon.
Yes.
So this is a phenomenon that has never before or since happened. So it's not
and will never,
phenomenon.
Ever be repeated in any type of a lab. If it was a repeatable phenomenon in any way, shape, or form, they would have been able to build computer models with actual physics to demonstrate their point, and they were unable to do so. They built computer models and animated them towards their conclusion.
thought he did say that he had some kind of a computer model to model this fire, but it's very, I think it's a very interesting kind of thing, but I might be mistaken in that.
No, he did have, they had a building, model, which was based on the blueprints, but then they weren't actually able to apply the heat from the fire, as they said that it would have been hundreds of degrees below what, you know, a computer model or anything they had tested would have actually done. They kind of just had to hypothesize it. And then they put this model looks so ridiculous. I mean, one column starts to fall, then the surrounding columns start to fall somewhere near the middle of the building, and then they don't even show the facade of the building, and they don't even show the thing come all the way down.
What I think they're doing, Jason, is I think that they're, have you ever heard of like chaos theory, where you have the butterfly effect and he flaps his wings in Australia and you get a tornado in Miami?
Sure.
But if you put him 30 meters away, he flaps his wings, nothing happens 6 months later in Miami.
Yeah.
I think what these NIST guys are doing is working the thing in reverse and finding initial conditions. You know, they work the program in reverse first, find some initial conditions, and then they put the butterfly exactly where they need him to flap his wings. In this case, it would be fires, you know, or in the case of the towers burning, it would be like, you know, they needed 42 inches of bend sag in the steel rather than just 3 inches. But then they work their computer programs forward, and they say, wow, we've got evidence now that it just came from this one thing, because they've worked it backwards first.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
that's
my opinion.
No, that's exactly what they did. They did work it backwards. I thank you for the call. Again, they had the conclusion first, and they worked their models around that conclusion, applying no science to their actual computer models. Let me say it again. No science, no physical properties. All right. Let's go to James in New York. James, what's on your mind? Oh, we dropped James. Let's go to Greg in Detroit then. Greg, what's up?
All right. I have 2 points to make, if I can make them both, one on 9/11, one about Denver. As far as 9/11 goes, I've heard that George Bush's younger brother was the head of security at the World Trade Center.
Neil Bush was the head of Securicom, later called Stratasec, and his company did do security for both the World Trade Center and Dulles Airport prior to 9/11. Not sure if they were involved on 9/11. I think they were going through the process of kind of giving that over to Kroll, which is just really a CIA shell corporation. We'll get your point on the DNC on the other side. This is the Alex Jones Show. Remember, Fabled Enemies, August 31st at PrisonPlanet.tv. It. Man, I love this Starship Troopers gang. Isn't that a cool tune? Off into the stratosphere of the info war. You found it. This is the spear, the tip of it. And we're taking calls right now. Alex Jones is going to join us from the DNC. We reported on the detention camps earlier. There was live streaming video over at Infowars.com. You can go check that out right now. And we're going to just keep taking some callers till Alex calls in. Then we're going to go back to Bob Chapman, who we had to end with abruptly, for Kevin Ryan in the last half hour. We may do overdrive. So, you know, they're in the thick of it over at the DNC right now. Things are going down. You know, Pelosi's out there grandstanding for the Democrats, saying, oh, we're not united yet. A whole bunch of nonsensical issues. But we've got Greg in Detroit bringing up some real issues. You talked about 9/11. Let's get into your DNC point.
Well, I just wanted to, I didn't make my point about 9/11 yet.
Okay.
The only thing I wanted to say was I haven't really seen any expose or investigation about Bush being security there, and it seems like he would be the key in the lock if there was advanced preparation to bring the Twin Towers down.
Well, let's also look at this. His other brother, Jeb Bush, where he was that day, was governor of Florida, and he declared martial law on September 7th. Okay, so he had martial law in place on the morning of the attacks in case something went wrong. I think that's another aspect that really needs to be heavily investigated.
Okay, about Denver, I hate to be a harbinger of anything that would turn out to be true, but I've had a bad feeling ever since I heard that Obama's going to do his speech at the stadium. That sure seems like a lot of vulnerability to me. I'd like you to comment on what you think could happen, if anything would happen to him at that event there and what it would do to the city of Denver and why there may be so much preparation to incarcerate people.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be a total police state, and I thank you for the call. Geez, if they got to Obama and say they did get him, I don't see it happening until after the election, until they get their boy in, before they would even think about something like that. I may be wrong. I'm not a global elitist. I'm not one of these big-time political players, but it seems like if that were to happen, that would not only screw up the DNC altogether, but then, you know, how do you promote Hillary? How do you promote, you know, I mean, you're obviously not going to promote Biden for president. You'd probably have to fall back on Hillary. So I don't see that in the cards. I think that they really just want to demonize the protesters out there and make us seem violent, like Rush Limbaugh was hoping for riots in Denver. I think that is their main goal, to demonize the general population. All right, let's go to Michael in Florida. Michael, are you with us?
Hello.
Hey, what's on your mind, Michael?
I was going to talk about the DNC. You know, with this whole question of Obama citizenship, I thought that was kind of interesting ploy, what they're talking about, whether he's born in Kenya and all that sort of thing. And I thought it might be a way to challenge the whole situation, because I think eventually they're going to say that, well, maybe we don't need the rule that someone has to be born actually in the United States to be a presidential candidate, which eventually play into the whole, well, maybe we can get Arnold Schwarzenegger to run.
Well, that was definitely a fear back in 2004 when he was speaking at the Republican National Convention, and it seemed like they were going to try to either have a constitutional convention to change that, or to try to actually bring a vote to change our Constitution and Bill of Rights. It would have been pretty wild. It's a definite possibility. I think people woke up to that pretty quickly, but, you know, we love a movie star. So,
right. So
who knows? I mean, we're just so apt to get drawn into this pop culture phenomenon that is the TV and movies that I don't put anything past them. And, you know, most people still think that Arnold's a great guy.
Right. Well, they're going to give him, well, he's got this California crisis going on now, and he's going to come out of it looking like a superstar. And they've, maybe they've manufactured it, maybe they'll support him. Who knows how they'll play it? But Obama's going to be the test case for him, but it won't be about him. So then they'll kind of make it look like Obama's the mandate of the people. So you got to get this through, because you can't let him hang or dangle there. Otherwise, you're going to be forced to have Hillary, and nobody likes Hillary.
Well, yeah, maybe, I mean, it's a definite possibility. And let me say this. I mean, the last actor president we had, Ronald Reagan, came out of the governorship of California. So they like to use that as a tool to prop up world leaders. I thank you for the call. We'll be back after this, taking your calls. Hopefully Alex is going to call in, and then Chapman in the last half of the hour. It's the Alex Jones Show. Go get Fabled Enemies right now at Infowars.com. All right, folks, we're back. It's the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmis, sitting in for Alex Jones, but that doesn't mean you don't get a little Alex Jones. Alex is live with us from the DNC. Alex, what's going down?
Hey, earlier we were number one on Justin TV with the Infowars Justin TV channel. Right now, Luke Radowski, WeAreChange.org, has a live feed. People just saw some incredible stuff there. We have another live feed coming up about an hour from Infowars.com. Folks will be able to go watch. It was incredible. In a 10-minute period, we saw a microcosm of the entire situation. We saw a microcosm of everything. We're over there talking about how some of the anarchist groups have been caught, hired by foundations to come in and start fights, attack the police, so there's a pretext to then attack the peaceful demonstrators. So we go over to politely talk to some anarchists about what they really believe. They say we're bad. They say we're evil. They say I'm bad, that I'm trying to, you know, sell going to my movie tonight, even though I donated that showing to We Are Change Colorado, and I'm not getting one red cent, even though I'm showing it in New York in a few weeks on September 11th for the first responders. I'm taking not one red cent. I donated $14,000 last year for my showing of Endgame that 800 people went to. So we've done all this. But we're still evil there. Then they start saying we're racist and that you know, because we don't want Mexico to take over the U.S. And then they start bullhorning me, screaming a bullhorn right in my face. You know, that's one thing about bullhorn, a building or a group. They had it right up my face. I had a shouting match with them. And then they came over and said, you've caused a disturbance. You're the one making noise. Get out of here, when they started it and they had the bullhorn. That's what they do. They're nasty, mean, petulant people who lie about us and hate us. Am I saying all anarchists? No. There's one group of anarchists that I guess really want anarchy, or extreme libertarians. But every other anarchist I run into is really a communist, if you really talk to them. And then they just say they're an anarchist, because being a communist is unpopular today and kind of discredited. So these are definitely foundation people here They all know who I am. Now, most of the crowd loves us, great peace people, great, you know, mainline liberals, conservatives, Ron Paul supporters are out here. In fact, they're the majority. But you've just got these vicious, mean anarchists that are just so angry that we exposed months ago, not Recreate 68, but one of their umbrella groups, one of the ones that's under them, was talking about shields and clubs and you know, fighting and violence and things like that. And then they try to misrepresent that as well. We're not saying that about 68. I want to be clear, it's a subgroup of that. It's just absolutely amazing to be here witnessing this, but to see them come over and say, you can't speak, shut up. I'm out on the sidewalk. I'm out on the edge of their demonstration, which they've taken over. It's just the general public marching. And people are shaking my hand. That, you know, the general public likes us. The general protesters and demonstrators like us. But they come over and tell us, not the police. The police didn't come over and tell us that we didn't, that we couldn't be over there. It was the anarchists. The anarchists came over to us, and they told us that we didn't have a right to be there and started elbowing me. Did you guys get that when that guy was elbowing me? And these guys are, you know, the anarchists are hitting their elbows into me and telling me I don't have a right to be over there videotaping what they're doing. Now, do we support the, you know, all the big police state surveillance, the secret camp, all of that, the provocateurs that have been caught in other cities? No. And you know, we're criticizing that. But the point is, it's because of these anarchists, whoever's behind them, that our demonstrations and our conventions have been turned into these police states. And so, no, it's not these men in riot gear behind me with their beanbags and their pepper spray cannons and the rest of it that are frustrating my First Amendment. It is the anarchists who physically started bumping into me and hitting me and telling me to get out of there after they came over with a bullhorn, started shouting in my face. And it's all on video, and it all went out live on Justin TV right now. It all went out live on Infowars.com and WeAreChange.org. And people are going to learn the truth about these folks. At first they told lies about us, then they bullhorned me. It is absolutely outrageous, Jason, that this is going on. But you know what? We now have live internet video streaming, and so they can't stop us. Not just the syndicated radio show with millions of listeners out there. Now we have the video to prove everything. This is the great equalizer with the police, with the citizens, with the anarchist socialist who poses anarchist. I'm not saying all of them, but the leaders. This is the equalizer. We'll find out who's good. Is it the police? Is it the citizens? Is it the anarchists? This is the great equalizer. There's the camera hidden lion, and those anarchists over there are dirt. They are, because they hate this country. They said they hate me because I say I love America and the Bill of Rights and Constitution. They want America to come down. They were telling us that. They were saying we're evil because we love this country. This country isn't perfect, but this country is a lot better than other nations. And they told me I couldn't be over there, and they physically started assaulting me. Not the police, the anarchists. And that's who they are. They say they're not violent, but they were elbowing. Did any of you catch that on video? Did any of you see it? Witnesses, come out here. Who saw it? Come out here on the live feed. Sir, who are you? Tell us what you saw.
I'm Dave. Dave Voodoo from Denver.
Okay, what did you see?
I saw him up in Alex's face with their bullhorn, pushing him, elbowing him. Absolutely.
Okay, again, we're going out live here. Anything else you want to add, sir? Here.
Stop the New World Order.
Here, go in there with Jason Burmes.
Stop the New World Order.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, they want us to put down our cameras. Like Alex said, the cameras are the great equalizer. And, like I said, we have it live over at Infowars.com doing some live streaming. And they're even posting Alex over at the detention center from only a couple hours ago. I mean, it's incredible how we're able to catch these guys now in real time and reach an audience of thousands on the video feed and millions through the radio.
Absolutely, Jason. Thanks, man. Here's Alex.
Thank you. So, Alex, what are the plans now? What's next? I mean, obviously, you're down there. These anarchists have their own little area. Now, is that the same area you're going to be protesting from, or is it a separate one?
Well, I want to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
They're over here at the Supreme Court protesting, saying they want political prisoners released. Same thing they always do. Fine. That's their First Amendment. I come down here. I'm not yelling. I'm not screaming. I'm not on a bullhorn. This is a, quote, unpermitted protest. That's great. They're over there. I'm standing there, and anarchists basically start talking crap about us. People with masks on wearing black, whatever they are. And we walk over to them, and we say, hey, what's going on? Give us your point of view. Very nicely, very respectfully, went out live on Luke Radowski's camera. And they just point blank told us that started screaming at me with a bullhorn, I'm talking 2 inches from my face. People started bumping into me, but I didn't want to be distracted. Then some of the organizers came over and said, you have become a disruption. You're being too loud. While their guy is bullhorning in my face. And I said, so I'll try. Okay, I'll leave. Then they had a victory celebration because they're all about driving people out. And somebody went, it was this old man. Well, not old. It was like about 55, 60. But an old, you know, kind of anarchist type, probably foundation, or goes, with his elbow. I was like, whoa, dude, watch it. So I kind of bumped back into him. He bumped back into me. And then somebody else bumped into me from behind. We have witnesses. My camera guys say they got it on tape. Anybody else a witness to this want to talk about? Luke, come over here on the camera, on your own video feed and on InfoWars.com. Everybody watching and listening right now with Jason Burmes. Tell them what you saw him do.
Hey, man, it's pretty weird. We have people coming up with bullhorns, just bullhorning us right to our face, and then they're going to tell us that we're disrupting an event. We were not disrupting an event. People were coming up to us, started arguing.
It's a public event.
It's in a public street right here in Denver, in the beautiful city, and then people are coming up, starting arguments, screaming on bullhorns right in our faces, and then they say we started a whole incident and we're taking off attention from the main event. And it's ludicrous. It's crazy.
Did you see him bumping into me? I want that on record.
Yeah. And then I'm going to have a video recording the whole situation with Alex and the whole confrontation with all the anarchists and communists. And then you see a guy basically bump into Alex, push him out the way, and they're just getting very physical and very negative, and they were basically just trying to chase us out, trying to claim victory that we had to go back on the radio. So it's ludicrous that this is happening. It's sad that this is happening, but it's happening live. People can make their own judgments. America is watching. The world is watching right now. Go on justin.tv/wearechange or wearechange.org. You can see the live feed right now as we're talking to you. So go there, check it out. It's also on wearechange.org. So.
All right. Absolutely, and we're archiving that. We're going to have a link to that up on InfoWars.com, and the live feed from the FEMA camp today is up there right now on InfoWars.com. But, folks, this is what I'm saying. I've tried to be friendly to these people. I came up. I said, when they were talking to me, I said, I'm not saying you're bad. And by the end of it, 5 minutes later, they were elbowing me, bumping into me, saying, leave, you're causing a disturbance. And you know what? I'm not there to be manipulated by them into a fight with them. You know, if any of them really hit me, I would stand up. I'm here to cover this event. I'm not going to end up in a FEMA camp for the next 4 or 5 days and not be able to cover this. I've got to be out here directing the radio show, the internet, the video feeds, the film we're making, and you know, the showing I got to do tonight for the folks who are coming out to that at the Oriental Hotel theater. So all that's happening, and these people come up and scream at me when I'm just quietly doing interviews and being interviewed by the media and screaming at us. And when I say, okay, I'll leave, they start bumping into me and getting in my face. They're not loving liberals. They're not nice people, at least these. Others watching this on the web saying, hey, anarchists aren't bad. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about every time I run into these people, the way they act. Okay? If you're not like this, then don't act like this, Jason.
Absolutely. And like you said, you know, they don't want the great equalizer there. They don't want everything to be on camera. That's why they put out in their little pamphlets that they should throw red paint on people who had cameras, take the cameras, smash them. They are trying to create a rift between the citizens and the police so that the police attack. That is their goal. And we have
to be clear, that was a subgroup, not part of Recreate 68, they say. So I'm going to take their word on it. For what I saw from them today, though, was bumping into me, you know, and they claim it's a Recreate 68 event, and I'm already having people physically bump into me who say, we're here, we're official, you're not allowed to be here, when it's an, you know, unpermanent little march over here. I don't care. I'm glad they're having an unpermanent march. My point is, I'm here peacefully trying to interview people. There's media everywhere, and they come over and start physically assaulting me, and that's okay, you know, to them, because they're not violent. You know, again, I have physically had the whatever these people are, liberaloids, whatever. I hate all these terms and names. Come over here and do this to me, and I'm not whining, oh, boo-hoo, you know, they bumped into me a bunch hard and were pushing on me. That isn't the issue. The issue is that they are very aggressive, they're out of control, and they attacked the First Amendment, and they told me to get the hell out of there like a pack of rats basically biting at my heels. And so there wouldn't be a scene because the cops wouldn't know what was going on. They'd just run across. You know, when these guys were bumping into me and hitting me, if I'd have hauled off and wailed one of them, by the time the cops show up from 50 feet away, they wouldn't even know who did it. I'd be going to that damn FEMA camp. So this is what we're talking about here. This is a very dangerous situation with these anarchists as they attack people and start their crap. And we're going to be here dealing with them, tracking them, videotaping them. That's why I came here, was to show people at least who a subgroup of these people are, and it looks like most of them. And we're going to be here on their tail, on their butt, whether they like it or not, documenting everything they do.
When does your permitted protest actually begin? Because I know you guys have one of the parks
there. Those are at parks. Yeah, mm-hmm. and that's all on We Are Change Colorado. Mm-hmm. Dinner.com. So we're just there doing that. I haven't even had breakfast yet. I'm going to take about an hour break off, and you'll see our Justin TV channel live up on InfoWars. All these videos you've been hearing here, hearing the audio from, those will be posted as archives as soon as they're done. But imagine with a backdrop of riot police behind me, with this backdrop of riot police, they're not frustrating my First Amendment. The Recreate 68 anarchist people, and we got video of it, come over and start shoving and pushing and bullhorning me, telling me I have to leave when I'm just standing there on the grass, not even getting near their person that's speaking on a microphone, while their guy screams on a bullhorn. Again, they just ran a false flag on me. They just ran a false flag. They staged something and then said, I've done it. That's who...
All right, folks, we're back in high gear. It's the Alex Jones Show. Alex giving us just unbelievable reports from the DNC, from the protests, from the detention camps. Again, the tip of the spear at the InfoWar, right here, right now. Nowhere else. I just feel privileged to be a part of it. Mainstream media isn't going to tell you that there's a shell organization called Recreate 68 and Unconventional Action that want a provocateur violence there so that we don't have our free speech, so that dissent is no longer available to us as an option, so that we can no longer peacefully protest. They're trying to gear this thing up. They love the anarchists are out there hiding their identities, becoming violent, inciting riots. This is what they want. All right, let's take some more callers. Let's jump to Missy in Detroit. Missy, what's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. I wanted to ask, and this may be more of a question for Bob, I'm not sure, but to give some perspective, because when you talk about the economy collapsing and, you know, biowarfare and everything that we could possibly be in for, but it's not going to happen all at one time, on one day, to everybody.
But it has already started to happen. That's what I mean. I mean, you're right. It's not going to happen one time, one day. We already have IndyMac going under, a big bank out in San Diego. We already have people's homes being foreclosed on. We already have their pensions being taken. So the incrementalization has already started for that. We're already, I mean, our dollar has been devalued by over 40% in the last 8 years. So, yeah, it's not going to all happen at once, but I could see a large spike happening in one day or one week. But continue.
Well, you know, the problem I have when I talk to people, my friends and family, is that they, you know, they hear about these things happening on the news and whatever, but they don't have any of the impact themselves. They still have jobs. They still have homes. Like, when we talk about food prices, they look at me like I'm crazy. They say it hasn't gone up for them. So... It seems to be, you know, just not...
Well, the haves are always blind until the very end, until they become the have-nots, and it's going to be a real awakening if these people you're talking about have more than 100 grand in the bank and the economy just totally goes under and they can't withdraw their money and then all of a sudden the U.S. dollar's not worth anything. I mean, we're already on parity with Canada. Canada's actually, their currency is a little bit more. You know how scary that is? Our currency is dominating.
Help me understand.
Okay.
Help me understand, like, what would happen if a bank did fail? You know,
it has happened.
Can't keep...
They take your money. Listen, if you have that, you're insured for $100,000 by the Federal Reserve banking system that will give you more Federal Reserve notes for as long as they actually stay legal tender. You're insured on that. You have $200,000 in the bank, your bank goes under, that other $100,000 is gone. It is not insured. Now, if your bank goes under with, say, your mortgage, your home loan, that then goes to the Federal Reserve banking system and more to a centralization of power. And you have to pay them. And if you can't pay them, they take your house. And that is starting to happen. It is not happening to everybody. It's slowly happening to the lower middle class who were given all these crazy loans that they were never going to be able to afford, and this was by design. I think the upper middle class will be one of the last to feel this. But again, when you look at the currency situation, and Canada, a nation that does not have a strong military, does not have that many imports or exports, you know, wood and other natural resources, fish, and their economy has a currency as strong as ours, we're the number one military superpower in the world. It should not be that way. And what they're gearing us up for is a North American Union. Maybe you need to show them the SPP agreements, the Securities and Prosperities Partnership, where it goes over this, how they're going to create economic crises to bring us more towards Canada and even Mexico. I mean, Mexico's peso has only gone up, and when it reaches a level where it can be on parity, they will propose a new currency such as an Amero. I mean, there's a ton of different ways to do it. I would suggest that you show your family perhaps America Freedom to Fascism to really break down how this financial system works. I thank you for the call, Missy. We've got to jump to another caller. Let's go to Bill in Cali. What's up, Bill? You with us, Bill? All right, he must have dropped. Let's go to Brad in Kentucky. Brad, are you there?
Brad dropped off, too.
Okay. How about James in New York? Let's take another one. Oh. James, are you with us?
Yes, hello.
How you doing, man?
All right, I just want to say to Alex to, you know, keep his head up, and because they could lose a whole bunch, you know, but one of us is more precious than any amount of them. Mm-hmm. And I want to share a war strategy, you know, to make our savement, which says we need to separate the holy from the lowly and to use our intel to build refuge so that we can, you know, come off of that, like get away from them, because we can't depend on our faith for humanity realizing the truth. We must use our energies to conquer the enemy by becoming independent of them, of the evil government, of the ill circumstances they inflict, right?
Absolutely, Bill. I can't agree with you more. I thank you for the call. We're going to have Bob Chapman on the other side riding shotgun in the last half an hour. Go to InfoWars.com, check out the live stream from the DNC, and if you're a PrismPlanet.tv member, you get to see my pretty face on the radio. We'll be back after this. Get Fabled Enemies. It's at InfoWars.com and PrismPlanet.tv right now. A little too much heart for me on this broadcast. Oh, but we got Bob Chapman back, and Bob, I had a caller just a few minutes ago asking about the economy, saying to me, you know, her friends and family just have not been struck by this economic crisis. What is going to happen when they start foreclosing on homes? What is going to happen when banks start closing down? And I explained to her, this is already in the process of happening. It just has not affected the majority of the middle class or the upper middle class yet. It's usually the lower middle class who took out loans that they weren't going to be able to afford on their homes, or people who mismanaged their money with IndyMac and other banking organizations that just went under. Why don't you give her a little preview of where this could go?
Well, first of all, the evidence is prima facie. I mean, it's everywhere. The real estate market, both commercial as well as residential, has been upside down for the last couple of years. And because there hasn't been a tremendous drop in the price of someone's home, and you know, the average in the United States is 20% plus over this period of correction in price. And it's going to continue because the loans that were made subprime, they still have until the end of next June. People will be falling out of their loans, not resetting, so to speak. And then you have Alta loans, which were a slightly better class, but they had no documentation. And they're going to go on for a couple of years more. And the Alta loans, a dollar amount, were twice as much as the amount dollar-wise for the subprimes. And then we've got starting now 5 years of option ARMs, which are called pick-and-pay loans, and many of these people anticipated higher home prices, which unfortunately for them didn't happen over a longer period. And they now owe more in their home than when they started, and they're going to get payments of $8,000 to $9,000 a month instead of $1,000 on that $1.5 or $2 million mansion they bought. And so we're not anywhere near the end of this thing. And I expect probably the worst is going to be seen over the next 2 to 3 years, and then we'll bump along the bottom maybe for 5 or 10 or 20 years. Who knows? There's no telling that. In the meantime, and we announced this 4 years ago, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are bankrupt. And not only is their losses going to probably be in the vicinity of about $2 trillion, on top of that, there's a thing called derivatives. And derivatives are insurance. And people supposedly were insuring the value of the bonds that they held in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, when in fact people were just gambling on what they call credit swaps. And one of the reasons they have to save Fannie and Freddie is not only because they're bankrupt, but because all these credit swaps have been made by the major investment banking houses and brokerage houses and banks, and they can't pay off. They don't have the money. They were running naked, so to speak. And so all of this is coming to fore. Even the federal government is talking about 300 banks going over under in the next year and a half. And in fact, for those of you who want to know more about your bank, we have three different services we can recommend it to you if you email us, and we'll email them out to you. And so those kinds of things are going on. At the same time, the qualifications for getting a new loan have been tightened up. We're back to 10 or 20% down in good credit. Good credit would be over 700. And we also have a municipal bond market that's frozen. We also have a commercial paper market that's lost about $500 billion because companies can't put up the proper collateral to borrow more money. Then we have the junk bond market, and they haven't been able to sell any new bonds for the last 9 months to a year. And you have this tremendous contraction going on, but it's being offset by an increase in M3, which is money and credit by the Federal Reserve. And that's the only thing that's keeping the system going. The Fed is lending banks through the discount window and through the auction procedure that they have and through the repo market more than $500 billion a month. And the European Central Bank's doing the same thing. And other central banks like in England and Switzerland and Canada, they're doing the same thing. Half the banks and half the brokerage houses and investment banks in Western Europe and the United States are bankrupt. Now, you don't need more ammunition than that to worry about where things are going.
Well, I'm with you, Bob Chapman of the InternationalForecaster.com, but some people still seem to be blinded by this, and they don't understand that it's already occurring. The incrementalization is already there. The banks are already pretty much bankrupt. They're really just waiting for a catalyzing event to announce it to the people and take all of their property. And we can't really predict when that is exactly going to come. We can just warn people that they need to get their assets into hard currency such as silver and gold. All right, let's take some callers, Bob, in this final half hour. Let's go to Ryan in California. Ryan, are you with us?
Hi, Jason. How are you today?
Good, man.
I actually have been studying Operation Mockingbird, and I really just wanted to know more about it. I just started touching up on it. I've heard a lot of
There's two different versions of Mockingbird. There's a HARP version, and then there is the version in which people spout the same kind of disinformation that is presented to them unknowingly. In other words, they have a handler or something like that, or are getting information from a certain source, and then they are parroting that information on the air. It's interesting. A lot of media have been exposed to be, CIA fronts or, FBI assets, depending on when they actually get compromised. I mean, a good example of this is some years ago, Al Sharpton was on, I think it was that sports show on HBO. It was really bizarre, but they had him on because he was fixing games and he was taking drug money. And they confronted him with the it was wild. And they confronted him with the video, and he stormed out. And he came back, and he's like, "Look, I can explain that. The FBI had me as an asset for a while, and blah 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 blah." So a lot of these guys are just guys that get compromised on the low, and you never ever ever hear whether or not they're a part of Mockingbird or not. Now the other one is kind of shrouded in mystery. The HARP Mockingbird. I mean, they've talked about putting out this, radio wave, if you will, where it somehow controls people. It's very, 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 very in mystique, in mystery. It doesn't tell a lot about that program. But, I think that Mockingbird is just another avenue of, say, COINTELPRO. People infiltrating movements and then spouting disinformation. Let's get Bob Chapman's take on Operation Mockingbird. Bob?
Well, I think all you've said is true. And these sorts of things have been going on for a long time. When I was in counterintelligence, the main focus during the Cold War was the Russians and the East Germans and so on. And yet, from time to time, we did counterintelligence operations against our own allies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing incisive, but we did do it. Mm-hmm. And, when we started to do it, I said to the people who were running things, look, why are we doing this? These people are supposed to be our friends. And they said, well, we got to make sure they still are. and then I found out that all the other guys were doing it to us, so I didn't feel too bad about it. But the point is that this counterintelligence type of operation goes on all the time, this, as you put it, infiltration. I mean, look back in the 1960s what the FBI was doing in infiltrating groups. I mean, they had all kinds of records, and they roped in all kinds of police departments. As a matter of fact, my next-door neighbor, when I lived in Malibu, had to leave the LAPD. He was second in command. Because they weren't supposed to be doing what they were doing, spying on people.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the people in Beverly Hills didn't think too much of that. They hired him as police chief, but anyway.
Yeah, these guys always seem to get into high positions of power. I mean, exactly. They're either the police chief or they're a city council member or they're on the board or they're a state senator or they're a local news anchor. I mean, they literally are entrenched in our society. Anything else, Ryan?
Makes it so hard to know who to trust with, you know, this Georgia and Russia stuff and hearing stories from the Russian side and the Georgian side and the U.S. side.
Well, here's how I can differentiate for that for you, because, again, I was under that same thing. You know, who's telling propaganda and who's telling the
right.
truth? Well, Saakashvili is a very good speaker, and he went on Glenn Beck for over 20 minutes, talked really well, talked about how, you know, Georgia was a bastion for freedom and that the Russians were acting very Orwellian, saying that they had attacked them and it was a total and complete lie. But then he really slips up at the last part of the interview. He literally says that this is about the future of Europe. This is about the future of the new world order. Now, this guy is a complete globalist. He's been trying to get into NATO now for some time. They committed the third largest amount of troops into Iraq, another thing that people didn't realize. And the U.S. was putting in weapon systems, both radar, defense, and offense, in the months before that. Now, what they didn't tell you is that they were also running drills in preparation for this attack. That's why Georgia, that's why Russia was able to get on the border of South Ossetia, because they began running their own counter drills. Now, I take the word of the 12-year-old girl who was on Fox, who was from San Francisco, who stopped Shepard Smith in the middle of the conversation. You can see my blog post over at loosechange911.com. It's got both the videos I'm discussing on it. It's called For Those Who Still Don't Know. And she literally stopped and said, look, I want to tell you, I was in South Ossetia. It was the Georgian troops that attacked us. We were stuck in the basement all night. The next day, the Russian troops actually helped us get out of the country, and they're the reason I got a flight back home. You know, Pat Buchanan, who I would say is right on about 75 to 80% of the issues, has taken this position as well. So, yes, Project Mockingbird does make things difficult, but I would suggest you check out those two videos to make your decision. Thank you, Ryan.
Hey, thanks.
You got it. All right, let's go to Dick in Denver. Dick, what's up? You still with
us? Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
You know, who said if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their money, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around those banks will deprive the people of their property until their children will wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
I want to say that's Jefferson. Let's take Chapman. Am I right?
Andrew Jackson.
Oh.
It's Thomas Jefferson, all right.
No.
And what an amazing guy he is to precognize that. It's amazing to me. I have, if I may, just make a quick little statement.
Sure.
I mean, you know, divide and conquer is the way the military-industrial financial complex has retained power for generations. Whether the Rothschilds and the Napoleonic Wars or the Federal Reserve and the neocon wars, this has been the strategy used by the corporate complex to keep us all in savage servitude. From Waterloo to Baghdad, from Caracas to a crack house, from South Africa to South Central L.A., from Chicago 68 to Denver 08, the game is the same. Divide and conquer. The kings of commerce, finance, and industry play us like peon pawns in a chessboard divided up into us versus them and us versus us.
I totally agree with you, Dick. I thank you.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, that was pretty brilliant, wasn't it? I like the Caracas to the crack houses. And, you know, we all know the war on drugs is a sham. Unfortunately, black ops within this country was shipping in the drugs from South America. Noriega was a paid CIA asset for years, over 20 years, 26-plus years, until he went rogue and we brought him, quote-unquote, to justice. Bob, you've been in this game a lot longer than a young guy like myself. You know, how do we protect ourselves other than hard currency?
Well, you discussed it earlier on, and that is gold and silver-related assets. That's the best place to be. And for those of you who can't or don't want to be totally in that venue, then you can buy Swiss franc government bonds, which I think are the soundest government bonds in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want information on that, I can supply it for you. And incidentally, we don't get paid by anybody. Anybody that pays us, the people who subscribe to the publication, that's the end of it. So if anybody needs help, we give it to them. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people have visions of us in the Patriot movement living in, like, evangelist-type houses and driving around the fanciest of cars. That's just not the case, folks. I'm driving a 98 Integra, okay? I mean, I don't have gold or diamonds on myself. I don't have riches and wealth. We don't do this for the money. We do this because our entire way of life depends on it. If we want a constitutional republic in the future, if we want to see our Bill of Rights and our Constitution as something other than a g-damn piece of paper, we better work at it. We better wake up. We better have the will to fight the tyranny. And, you know, that's why I look up to Alex, man. He made it happen. He took thousands of dollars out of his own pocket and went down to the DNC. He's taken thousands of dollars out of his own pocket and going to New York this year. You know, these things take money. And, you know, he has one of the largest audiences in the world right now. I mean, we're reaching out to celebrities. And why is that important? Well, because people are so obsessed with celebrity, they're more apt to listen to Charlie Sheen, Rosie O'Donnell, Jesse Ventura, and Willie Nelson rather than Stephen Jones, Kevin Ryan, myself, Alex, and Bob Chapman. And that is the power in that. So, you know, I hope that people keep spreading the message. You go to the internationalforecaster.com. You share your prisonplanet.tv link. You burn copies of Fabled Enemies when it comes out. You get people to understand the different paradigms of this thing, because it's not something you're going to learn overnight. It's not something that you're going to ingest and be happy about. I'm not happy about this situation. I don't wake up in the morning and go, oh, I'm so glad that rogue elements in our government and other nations carried out 9/11. That's great. No, I'm very upset about it. I spend my life trying to expose it, and you've done the same, Bob.
Absolutely. You know, when you're at it almost 50 years, you got to be with it.
Absolutely. All right, let's take another call. Let's go to Helen in Florida. Helen, what's on your mind? Helen, are you still there?
Oh, yes. Oh, wonderful. There's a way.
Hey, Alex just called in. He wants to go.
Sure.
Maybe accomplish something in a gradual way. Take their money away from them. Now, the New World Order gets its major funding from the American taxpayer and also the drug trade. And then in 95, when our youngest son was 21 years old, he sent a promissory note to the clerk of court promising to pay so much in fines, traffic fines, he knew were unconstitutional.
Helen, I gotta cut you off just because we have Alex on the line. We got to jump to Alex. If we have time, we will jump back to your call. Alex, what's up?
But we went past it and took the next road, so it's this one. Yes, I'm here, guys. How you doing?
Very good. I see that you're now live streaming yet again on Infowars.com.
Yeah, we just drove through a bunch of riot police pushing and shoving people down to the ground and stuff, just regular people with basic crowd control, and now we're trying to cut back around. There's so many buildings and so many people using cell phones right now. We're getting out via cell phone on the Justin TV, and it's up on Infowars.com. on our channel, but it is live and posted on Infowars.com. I hadn't even talked to Aaron because he'd been separated for part of the melee, which I'm driving up into right now. Get ready. It's that big checkpoint and all those police and the roads blocked. We're going to be driving up to this in a few minutes. But to be coherent here, I'm driving, and there was one protest in front of the federal courthouse. There was another one, another protest going on down the street, so we just drove through it, and then there's another just area where there's big crowds of people trying to get down by the Pepsi Center, police blocking roads and shoving people around. Let's just skip this.
Yeah, let's skip the break
scenes right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's skip this break. We're going to hear from Alex Jones as he drives up to the police checkpoint. You can see everything live over at Infowars.com right now. We've got Bob Chapman on the line as well. Stay with us in this InfoWar. All right, Alex, go ahead.
I want to talk to you about a dirty word.
Yeah, John needs to cut the audio.
Yeah, he's
feed.
Got it. He's caught it. He's cut it.
No, he hasn't.
It's cut on my end.
Well, it's not good on my end.
Oh, geez.
We do this with guests every day where I cut back and we don't do that. Okay, now I'm clear.
Okay.
Oh, now they've just blocked the road.
Oh, lovely.
Now they've just completely blocked it, so I can't even get down there. Let's zoom in. Get up here in the front and zoom in down there with the demonstrations and the road blocked. I've got to back up here. Right now, again, this is totally crazy. In traffic, in the big city, masses of people everywhere. I'm on the cell phone. I got two guys shooting with cameras, another live feed. Kids, don't try this at home.
Absolutely.
And we've been so action-packed, I'm not whining, but we've been up since about 6:50 this morning, and we haven't eaten. That's not true. Breakfast of Champions, Gatorade.
I don't think Gatorade actually counts as a food source, but I could be wrong on that one.
Just syrup here. Okay, let me be clear. I am peacefully, quietly, low-key, about 50 yards away where there's a demonstration in Ward Churchill, and really I got to see all these American haters up there. I mean, ultra-super leftist, America's evil, destroy America crowd, recreate 68.
Ward Churchill is literally saying that there were little Eichmanns in the World Trade Center and we're all bad for working for a living.
Yeah, I mean, the Ward Churchill that said everybody was little Eichmanns, deserved to die in the World Trade Center. We're talking about secretaries. We're talking about janitors. We're talking about school teachers. We're talking about people that put the light bulbs in that ran the food service.
Children in daycare, Alex.
Children in daycare. But the point is, we didn't come out here and attack them. We show up. This is the group that says, okay, we had some websites linked and some groups that are part of us that, you know, that did call for some, you know, some things, but you're liars. You shouldn't say that. Then I'm over there quietly talking to crowds of people, and they come over and start bullhorning me, saying I'm not allowed basically to be there, and that I'm a racist, and that I hate black people and Hispanics. Just totally made up classic leftist bull. To neutralize and demonize me. All these black folks and stuff, and people that knew me were like, yay, Alex Jones, he's a Spanish buster. Yeah, we know Alex, he's good. So they were lying about me, and I was countering, and he's bullhorning right in my face. Then people start bumping into me, hitting me, and they say, leave, you're disrupting the demonstration. Well, it's just a public melee. And I say, look, I'm just here talking. He's the guy bullhorning me, and they say, stop it. So they start bumping into me, hitting me with their elbows. Then I found out that they found out that Aaron was with InfoWars.com 30 minutes before when I was in a separate area, and they came over to him and they said, you're with InfoWars.com. You talk bad about Recreate 68. Started talking to one of the organizers, and they said, get out of here. And Aaron said, look, I just want to interview with Ward Churchill. And they said, no. Start hitting his camera. They say, you lied and said we're violent. Get out of here. Bam, wham, and start hitting the camera. Aaron's right here videotaping, but for now, Aaron, tell him what happened to you.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I just wanted a brief statement from Ward Churchill. Whatever he wanted to say, he wouldn't talk to us, and they wouldn't talk to InfoWars.com. They said, not after what he said about Recreate 68, implying that we said they were violent, which was other groups, but, you know, we had them on.
Well, don't link to the Shield book where they call for
camera,
violence.
Obviously contradicting what they were trying to prove. Yeah. And that's basically what happened. They ran me out of the area and said, you're not welcome here.
Well,
the good news is, I know we're coming back out in the final segment right now, aren't we?
Yeah, we should be coming back.
We are on the final segment.
We are on the final segment as we speak. We're in. We're
okay,
on
okay, well, I just wanted to recap for the listeners. The Recreate 68, some of the organizers, folks that said they were in charge, came over and bullhorned us, told us that we basically couldn't even be there on a city street, then started bumping into us, saying leave, started hitting me, I mean hard. I mean, throwing elbows into my stomach. There were cops across the street. They would have come over and arrested us all. So I just left. But Luke was live streaming on the web on his We Are Change site, so that went out. We're now driving around inside the city where there's checkpoints and police. We just drove for a big one before we went live at InfoWars.com on the video stream. Just drove through a big one there. But weren't going live yet. We're going to continue. We're going to drive back through, get out, show you the demonstration. Then the anarchists are planning to surround the Mint, and the feds have said if they touch the fence, they might shoot. So that's going to be probably arrest going on there. We're going back to the camp later. We're going to have a live event feed. It's all at InfoWars.com on our Justin TV channel. We want the listeners to take all these clips and all these feeds, edit them together, post them up on InfoWars.com, on YouTube. You know, go to the live video feed, listeners, capture it, put it on YouTube, get it out to everybody, to Kurt Nemo, to Paul Watson, help us because we're showing people what's really happening. But bottom line, people that claim that they're, quote, anarchists and Recreate 68 told us basically to get out of there, were bumping into us, saying we didn't have free speech, and we're being violent. So here's another example of us peacefully being there. And again, I could have stood there and yelled and screamed and keep getting hit by them. The point, documented they were bumping into us, documented what they were doing, documented they were bullhorning us, and we just left. There they are attacking the First Amendment. Understand, they're screaming at us with bullhorns, and then their organizers are coming over saying, Alex Jones, get out of here. You're causing problems. And then separately with Aaron slapping his camera going, we're not violent, you're a liar. Wham, bam, on his camera. So just unprecedented, Jason. So for everybody the refeed for the restream of what Jason has done today starts in just about a minute and a half on the internet streams at Infowars.com with a live call-in from the FEMA camp, all the guests. That's about to restream at Infowars.com. But regardless, we're going to continue on Infowars.com with our Justin TV feed. If it goes down, we're going to boot it back up because we're here in the city, but it's still up, right?
Absolutely.
Still going good. With Richard doing a great job and putting up with me today. The guys are doing a fabulous job. Jason, you're doing a fabulous job. If you want to go into overdrive right now, you're welcome to. Do you want to end the show right now or go to just internet only, Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv streams?
No, we'll definitely go into overdrive. I mean, you're live on the scene of the DNC. It would be a retard not to put it on. I mean, we're trying to reach as many people as possible, and this is the tip of the spear.
Okay, get your webmaster. Get Paul Hartman. Make sure he can stay for another hour, our new IT guy. Make sure that you guys can stream from there and get the feed dialed up so from your computer you can stream some of our live streaming so you can have a break if you want to send that over our streams as well. And then you can just talk over us how you want because I can't drive in traffic and hold this cell phone up. So just any feeds you get from me, you choose what to get when you play the audio over the air, okay?
All right, you got it. So we're going to bring that up and we're going to have Infowars.com streams from the DNC.
All right, we're going by some protests right now.
All right.
Going by a shutdown area right now. And this, and I'm trying to turn down there. They've shut the street down.
All right, folks, I want to remind you, if you did miss any of this, after we're done with Overdrive, we do retransmit all of this at Infowars.com in a continuous loop until the next show. I want to thank Bob Chapman for coming out on two separate occasions today. He had to call in. We had to bring Kevin Ryan up halfway through his interview. Bob, give out the website quick.
TheInternationalForecaster.com.
All right. Thank you, Bob Chapman. And, you know, on behalf of Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv, we're bringing you the truth, and we're cutting through live
you
right now.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com.
All right. We are on the air live with the Infowars stream. Alex, can you still hear me? Okay. So they're not on right now. What we're going to try to do is we're going to try to boot up the Infowars.com stream from Paul's computer over there and play it straight from Justin.tv off of Infowars.com. What a power-packed show, by the way. I mean, we had Alan Watt on for an hour. We had Marty the Soapman Schachter, who's always an entertaining guest. Bob Chapman on two separate occasions, Kevin Ryan, and we took your phone calls. So, I mean, we just continue to bring you new material. I mean, we continue to be the tip of the spear. I know I've used that term like a dozen times today, but it's true. I mean, it's unbelievable to me that such a small operation can do so much, yet I know we can because I'm part of it. And, you know, Alex being down there at the DNC and challenging these guys on their lies is just uber essential. All right, so I'm going to try to play this straight through my laptop right now, folks. Let's see if we're able to do that. Always trying to do some new stuff here at Infowars.com. All right, so I'm going to bring the laptop up, and we are going to hit play and bring up the audio.
I'm going to take a break for a few minutes. Guys, give us some shots out the windows of scenes downtown. If you could have only seen the checkpoint, the riot police shoving people to the ground, treating people like cattle, but now we're basically shut down and having trouble getting back over there. We're about to be over by the Pepsi Center, so we're just going to give you some shots out the window of what's going on out here and some scenes as we try to get back over where the demonstrations are at. So we're going to keep streaming live right now.
And
for all the Justin TV people that are watching, don't forget we have the internet stream. Jason Burmes is going to be live for the next hour in Overdrive at Infowars.com. Taking your calls. If you're in Denver, you want to report something you've seen, call in Jason Burmes. And there's just a lot more you can do. Richard, you don't have to videotape. Why don't you give Rob a five-minute report? Get shots of that. Interview Richard. Give me a five-minute break.
All right. Richard?
Well, it's been definitely an exciting day trying to get the live feed working. It's the first time we've ever used it, so we've had to troubleshoot it a bit, but we're going to be ready to go. We've got a car booster battery here that we've got to carry with us, so we should be able to stay live the rest of the time that we need to.
What have you witnessed that maybe we haven't seen on camera yet?
Well,
we were separated.
Yeah, so far when we were separated, that kind of put me out of the loop of the activity. I was troubleshooting the live webcam But the good news is, bottom line is, we're going to be able to continue the rest of the day now, and then tomorrow for sure we're going to be able to be up for the whole program if necessary. So it's been quite an exciting time, though, I can tell you that. When we were down there at the makeshift FEMA camp, they, as most people on Justin TV saw us, they talked to us a little bit, but they rapidly backed off. These cameras are the best piece of equipment we have to keep our rights and freedoms here in the U.S., and so we plan on using them to the fullest. And with the technology that we have right now that has been pioneered by a lot of people to stream live on the web and put it out there for the world to see, it's definitely what we got to continue doing and even get better at it. And I think it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen.
Richard, anything else you want to add about the FEMA camp today? And then I want you to debrief Rob for 5 minutes. Okay. So Richard, you keep being interviewed. Anything else you want to add, or you take the camera, just set the big one down. It's okay. Right. And then you interview Rob.
Well, ultimately, to me, one of the big highlights was that you actually had a viewer that showed up.
Within 30 minutes of going live.
It was a big highlight that a listener of Alex Jones shows up and starts to come up there and be involved in the activities. He goes up there and talks to the cops. So that was really cool that he showed up, and that was just the highlight of it for me at that point, knowing that there's an audience out there that's activists like that, and I think he's just one of a whole bunch. I know a lot of them were here during the riots.
My big checkpoint where the cops were shoving people around is down there. So as I pull out, try to get a shot.
Okay.
Let me hand it up to Aaron. Aaron? No. Go ahead.
All right, they're getting outside right now, and we'll go back to them in one moment. Of course, we're taking live stream from the DNC. You can see the video if you're a PrisonPlanet.tv subscriber, and we are in overdrive. My name is Jason Burmis. You can check out my material over at loosechange911.com, or you can get my latest film, Fabled Enemies, over at PrisonPlanet.tv right now and Infowars.com. Let's go back to the feed because we're looking at some black uniform police officers. They're driving away now. Let's see the comments.
Forget these guys if you go by. Good job, guys. Oh, here's some cops on horses. When you go by, we'll go. I'll get red, red light.
Just more police everywhere they go. Just roaming around. We've got them in the black uniforms and helmets on horses over here. Some of the cops that are not armed to the teeth, they're not quite in the full riot gear. They've got the police masks on, however.
Sure, the horses themselves.
And the helmets.
You know, folks, the reason that we're covering this is because, again, it's not about right or left. You know, a lot of people are like, why aren't you going to the RNC? Well, the DNC is just as important. They have tried to provocateur violence here. You know, as Aaron just told us, they try to get an interview with Ward Churchill, and what happens? I'll tell you what happens. The Recreate 68 guys come over and start batting his camera, cursing at him, telling him to leave, and then Ward Churchill refuses to give a comment. All right, let's go back to the live feed.
All right, we're going to go right by the police horses. Get a shot of this and drive right by him.
Amazing camera work being done by either Aaron, Rob, or Richard. I couldn't tell you which. They're right next to these cops right now. It's a stunning shot. It really makes it worth it to be a PrisonPlanet.tv subscriber if you can take a look at this unbelievable video.
Cops get out of the wrong
lane. Oh, boy. We have really fallen into a pit when, you know, we have this amount of a police force on the streets of Denver to try to stop the quote-unquote riots that are ensuing. Well, those riots are provocateured. A lot of those people know exactly what they're doing. That's why they're wearing masks. That's why they're acting violent. That's why they don't have a real political stance other than governments are bad and corporate corruption is bad. Well, no kidding, it's bad. But you have to have a solution. You have to point out what's wrong and how to fix it. See, these guys just want you to believe that we can function with no government. It's absolutely ludicrous. We can't just function with no government whatsoever. We need some type of order. We need some type of semblance, and I believe that that is provided to us under the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. But these anarchists are going to tell you that the Bill of Rights and Constitution are no good. And just like Alex said, many of them are really communists, but it's not hip to use that term at this point. All right, let's clock back in on the laptop and see what Jones and company are up to. Right now, they're really just touring the streets of Denver in the car. I'm not sure where they're headed, whether they're headed towards the Pepsi Center or away from the Pepsi Center. But, again, you can watch the live feed for free at InfoWars.com
right
now.
We're
going
to go back into some of the demonstrations in a minute, but I want you to put your camera down, Rom, and I want, like, 5 minutes. I want a breakdown of the whole trip from you, a rundown. You know, again, I want a rundown of the whole trip, what happened today. I want Rob's perspective on the anarchist, what they did, and then I want Rob to interview Aaron after that. So here we go. Okay, Richard, you interview Rob. Just stick it between you. Stick the camera between you.
All right.
Richard, well, scoot over now. Wherever it works.
Well, this is the first time I've ever been to Denver, so I have to say it's one of the most beautiful cities I've ever seen. The air here is great. It's awesome. Upon arriving this morning, going to the detention center, basically...
Oh, no, and they cut out right as we're... Oh, I'm going to try to reset the stream. Hopefully they'll be broadcasting in a moment, folks. It seems like it just cut off my broadcast. Here we go.
When we actually went and, wanted to interview some police officers who were there at the detention center, this guy was still slinking around and going into parking spots and pretending like we couldn't see him when he clearly knew we can see him and he can see us. So it was a little on the ridiculous side on behalf of the police. It just seemed like sort of cartoony. You know, these guys would inch forward as we took a step forward, and they'd inch back as we took a step back, or if we aimed the camera, they'd just slowly turn away. And then after that, we definitely saw what looked like a heat ray weapon or a sound device.
It's a microwave gun.
Microwave gun. It had the telltale signs. Alex and I both saw it. I think Aaron caught a glimpse of it.
It was driving by us.
He was driving by us.
He came out of the camp.
He came out of the camp. He was being dragged. This device was being dragged on a tow kind of thing. It was a single solid thing with its own wheels, and it had a vehicle ahead of it, drawing it, you know. And so that was, seeing that confirmed everything, that these guys have these weapons here. They may be planning to use them. They may not. That all depends on, whatever their arrangement is with this weapon. But the fact of the matter is it is present here, and these people do plan, perhaps somebody is planning on using it, probably on an American citizen, right here in a good old U.S. of A. And so we go up to the anarchists a few hours later. We go up to the anarchist demonstration. You know, it seemed peaceful enough until these people, we go up to them. This guy took a bullhorn out and said to Alex, if you could bullhorn, then I could bullhorn. I think the difference between Alex's bullhorn and this guy's bullhorn is Alex usually bullhorns into a wide open area, into basically an audience of people who are either listening or not listening. This guy took a bullhorn out and put it directly into Alex's face, turned up the volume, and screamed right on him.
And that was nice, though.
Oh, we lost it again, folks. Man, the buffering on this, we're not losing it on the outside video feed for some reason, but we are losing it on the audio feed from the laptop. I'm going to refresh, and hopefully we'll get back to Rob Jacobson and his account of everything going down at the DNC. Let's see. Now we're not broadcasting. All right. This is live guerrilla radio. We may wrap it up at half past the hour and go into... the beginning of the show. And the beginning of the show was jam-packed. I mean, Alex joined us straight up from the DNC. It wasn't long before we actually got to the detention camps. We had Alan Watt of CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com on, and I'm a big fan of Alan Watt. I'd like to book him for later in the week, really. I'd like to get him on again. He is very insightful, and he had a lot of great information on Quigley and the Roundtable Group, among other things today. Now, it's important that people repost this stuff. Why is it important? Because it shows the provocateur nature of these anarchists. It's important to show these detention facilities. Why? Because most people still think these detention facilities don't exist. It's important to emphasize these microwave guns. Why is it important? Because this is weaponry that is being used against the people, rendering us almost powerless in any physical sense. I mean, it literally cripples you right there. You feel like you're on fire. You're going to drop whatever you have. You're going to run away. So, you know, they really are highlighting their new police state technology here at the DNC, yet another reason to be there. You know, again, Denver is a beautiful place. I've only been out there once. It was in February of this year. I was completely impressed by it. And I really just would hate to see things get out of control there. You know, Alex and company are there to cover the news. I encourage them to keep covering the news, to keep at it, to keep showing people the truth. I mean, it's essential. It's essential we break down these barriers that really we've set for ourselves from slothfulness, from laziness, from the willingness to do nothing, to be apathetic, to not care what's going on. And, you know, since we're not broadcasting right now, are we broadcasting? No, we're still not on the loop. All right, I think I'm going to wrap it up. And we're going to go right back into the rebroadcast. Remember, throughout the day, you can go to Infowars.com, and when they are broadcasting, you're going to be able to see live from the DNC, Alex Jones. I'm Jason Burmis. I will be back tomorrow through Thursday. Alex will be popping in, so don't miss any of it. Remember, you can go get Fabled Enemies right now at Infowars.com. It ships September 1st. PrisonPlanet.tv, you'll be able to see it on August 31st. Thanks for joining me. Refeed in 90 seconds.